Welcome back.
We're back.
To the Ski Slope.
Awesome. We're excited to be back.
Special guest in the house tonight, Mr. Ed Burke.
Mr. Ed Burke is in the house. Welcome, welcome.
He was in the house last time, too, though. He called in, but now we got him in the physical world here.
I'm really here.
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you know, this is exciting. This is the third one. First one, wondered if anyone was going to actually listen to it. Second one, we realized a few people listened, and I was a little anxious, but now we're on the third one, and people like it.
The Southern comfort offset the anxiety a lot.
It did. It takes the edge off.
And then Moo showed up, and we were fine.
It was good, and here, I'm excited.
I'm a fan. I've liked both podcasts very much. I listened to the Moose one twice on...
Wow.
Really?
That's it?
Twice.
Just twice? I'm a little offended.
Just twice.
I have to admit, I've only listened to it once. I did it only listen to it once. Howie, you listened to it a few times, didn't you?
I listened to it a few times.
Excellent. Awesome. Awesome. So we're excited to have Ed here. We love having like people from, you know, Howie and I were the last generation of Swago. So a lot of people don't, you know, we're not like, we weren't in the middle for a lot of the people who are still with us on this earth. So it's always great to have, you know, yourself, you were attached to us, and then you extend another X years backwards, yeah, and it's kind of cool, I think.
Was I your waiter 1 year? Because I know I waited on...
I never knew you until 99. Well, I mean, I knew of you, but I never knew you until 99.
I always knew of you, of course, but we didn't know each other at camp. I was so far younger than you.
Right, we did not know each other.
And I got to know you when we started the Swago basketball team after camp.
Well, you know,
after camp, ten years ago.
And I want to thank you for giving me my drink of choice.
You see, can you validate that? We'll inquire about your beverage choice. We'll come through for you.
Wait, hold on.
I said gin and tonic, and I think it's Tanqueray, which
no beef eater here, man.
Yeah, we don't fool around.
Which is really nice. And I want to actually, since we're talking, give a toast to Mike Moss, who's like a big bridge to Swago, because I think he was a big bridge from you guys...
Totally.
Us guys.
Because of how close. He was so tight with Howie's group.
He made Swago for me. Because here was this guy. Like, I'm the oldest in my family, so there was no older brother. You know, what do I know about an older sibling or anything like that? But he took on that role. And for all of us, like our whole bunk, basically, everyone in my bunk was the oldest kid in their household. So he was the older brother. And he was great at that role.
I only spent 1 year with these guys with Mike as the counselor. So I didn't, you know, he wasn't as connected as me, but he was literally, you know, every so often there's that one counselor that stays with the exact same kids for a handful of years. Moss did that with Howie and Jacobson and Feldman and all Roslyn group.
Right, we had Roy Herman for 3 years. My brother had John Sanford, who's a great
I know the name and I met him, yeah.
For 3 years. So, yeah, there was a lot of that with Les Miller. I don't know if you remember
that. Of course,
that
Les. We all remember Les.
Senior group leader. He's my you go to the dictionary for senior group leader.
He was in that bunk with Kushner. I know you touched a little bit on Kushner last
Every
time.
So often, I like to imitate people who shoot basketball shots, and one of the people I like to imitate is Les Miller, because do you remember how he used to shoot it from like the left side of his head?
Yeah,
like,
actually, that
is weird shot put from like the opposite side of the head that you're supposed to shoot it from, and he used to get such a kick out of that.
He was big.
How big was he?
He
really
seemed like a big guy
for
at the
Swago.
Time. Had a big fro too, right?
Yeah, he did. He had the Jew fro.
There were not a lot of great Swago centers. You know, if you look at that,
like none.
It's not exactly. It's not exactly the Lakers of like Chamberlain, Kareem, Shaq.
I think,
you know,
Jeff Jacobson, though, Larry Jacobson's younger brother. I think Jeff Jacobson became a pretty good player and was a big man.
I mean, I think of
how tall could he be? 6'2", 6'3"?
Maybe. I know. I think he got big. I think maybe 6'3". Maybe 6'3".
But I haven't seen 6'3". Merstein was 6'3". I think we're talking about a big man. And was Les that big? Was he 6'5"?
I think he played big in high school.
I think Les was maybe 6'2", but at Swago it seemed, you know, big. I mean, probably in like the few years around my time, this guy Scotty Wolf.
I remember him.
Was probably the best big man. And he was probably 6'1". He was just very strong and...
Well, the Wayne County Jewish camp system didn't really produce a bunch of 6'8 dominant, you know.
It was great for shooting guards.
We had the one kid from Wayne. What was his name? Mitch, something or other. I tried out for the Maccabee games, and he made it, obviously. I don't know if he still is, but he was the career NCAA Division I career assists leader from LIU.
I don't know who you're talking
about.
There's
a kid who played during our years at Wayne.
What's his record? What record did he have?
He has the record for the most assists NCAA Division I. Well, we have the internet here,
really?
So while we're talking, I'm going to pull his
name up. Does he still have it?
He may still. He had it when.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the guy Ice from Wayne.
I don't
know. Right? He had red hair.
So, yeah, red hair. Back. Was he called Ice?
Yeah.
I don't recall Ice. But
you don't remember Red Ice?
Red Ice. Well, he probably iced us because he's like, was pretty awesome. And when I tried out for the Maccabiah games, he was pretty awesome. He was like the leading player on that team. Anyway, so.
I know last week they touched on this guy, Neil Martyr, who scored like 80-plus points.
Yeah, what was that?
In a league game. And Neil Martyr was probably the best Swago player that I've ever seen in terms of pure skill.
Hmm. How much older was he than you?
He was, I think, a Color War leader in like maybe 1971, so maybe about 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 72, I'm trying to remember exactly, but my leader year was 75.
A leader. And so what team did you lead?
I was on the white team.
Yeah.
You know, I asked that like as if I remember when I was 75, we were all white. But
it's the only thing is like, yeah, go white. You know, it's a little bit, sounds sometimes today a little racist.
It does,
you know,
it does. Fight white is even more racist.
Right,
so we met, we were talking earlier. Ed was here a little earlier. We were doing the pre-interview. It's important for our podcast.
The green room is
unbelievable.
Howie was taking care of some technical difficulties. And we were talking about our trip that we're going to get into that we do 22 years, amazing trip. We met a bunch of kids from another camp and insisted that these two kids did their cheer for their color war, and their cheer was WHITE,
right.
White
and team. And they were inhibited about it, too, before. Like, this is really
like,
stupid.
No,
you're not going to like
roll.
This.
We know that one.
I guess, you know, the color war team is white. How many good cheers are there?
Really, that's true. Not that many.
Right. And in my year, we won by so much that the sing was just academic.
Was it? Because I don't remember the thing ever being academic. It was you never really knew, but I don't remember
it
ever
being. How did
you know?
Did you have the points? Like,
yes,
they would read out the score.
We were ahead by so much
that
we would have had to have like all collectively shit ourselves.
Right.
You know, not been able to execute
lose
the stand up routine or something. But we also, as second year seniors, our team of seniors, we got creamed throughout the entire time. And
But your team was winning.
We won, except our group did terrible.
Lost,
but, we were carried by our Inters, Rangers, Eagles,
Frost,
and all that.
Jays.
But a couple of things. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of what Moose talked about last time. Just to, clarify, because those of you who don't know Moose, is, as we were talking about before, is somebody who doesn't always operate from
Can I ask you one question? Because if I forget to ask it, I'll hate myself because I didn't ask it last week. How did Moose get his name?
You know, it's interesting because Moose and I were campers. We started the same year in 68, which was the only year we were not in the same bunk. I was in M1 and 2, and he was in M3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And after that, for the next 7 summers, we were in the same bunk every year. And his first nickname was Mule. And
really?
Yes.
Not all that different.
See what you learn on the slope.
And somehow, and I'm not sure how, it became Moose. And, look at him. He's a guy that you would call Moose.
Mule would be funny, though.
And it's funny because I have another friend whose name is Moose. And
you have another friend from
along
the way in life?
Right.
Wow.
I remember
Moose?
One day I was at the park playing ball with my friend Moose, and the next day I was at the park playing ball with my other friend Moose. The guy's like, what, all your friends named Moose? Pretty much, yeah. It's
you were saying how that WHITE thing, the white thing. I have a friend whose last name is Whiteman, and everyone calls him Whitey. And we're playing down at the park on the Upper West Side, and everyone playing against these black guys. We're like, come on, Whitey, this. And dude, you're all a bunch of white guys. Like, well, why are you singling this guy out?
Like, he's particularly, not tan.
No, his name is Whitey. It's a nickname. Anyway, so Moose, you were saying?
So in any case, he was clearly a huge shaft. It was remarkable because I would say that the one person from our group that the whole camp knew was Moose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You probably didn't know me. Maybe a little bit sometimes because I was mayor the year before and,
two mayors in the house.
A lot of people voted for you. They know you.
Right.
Yeah.
As a first-year senior, it was the most opportunistic
I modeled my
political
campaign. Off of Ed's. I don't know that.
His political career was literally mapped after what you did.
Sure.
Just followed your lead. Got the same team together.
It was like the Obama campaign. It was like a digital thing. But, Moose was clearly the best-known second-year senior. He's
such a character.
Yeah, he engaged with everybody, beat up little kids. He loved it.
He had the name Moose.
You can call that engagement.
Right. And, it wasn't that the powers that be had me tell Moose that he was shafted. There was actually no plan, as far as I know.
Oh, really?
To notify him.
Did you ask if there was one?
So no. Who's who?
So what happened is, you know, we were looking around and, you know, we got the tap and we were able to count to six. And, you know, it was like, holy shit, Moose isn't a leader. And there were six people in our bunk and five of them were leaders.
Yeah.
And one person
wasn't.
And, you know, there was one year that there were eight leaders. I don't know if you remember, 1969.
That was before.
It was such
deep. I remember. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
There was one year. Seeing them on the board.
There was one year with us four. Right. I don't know if it was 69.
Yes,
but, yeah.
They had little tenants.
Because they had so many second-year seniors that they felt like they would be leaving people out if they didn't make it eight.
I think that was part of it. I think there was a really strong class leaders of what I remember. And I think that there may have been the Kurt Swedlow colliery where they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Kurt Swedlow, mm-hmm. Alex's mm-hmm. older brother.
I don't know him.
Nobody knew him because he never spoke.
Did you say corollary? What?
Yes, the Swedlow colliery. Yeah, like
corollary. What does that
colliery
mean?
Corollary. Like it's a legal thing.
Yeah, okay. Right.
All right.
Wait. So just so I,
like a codicil, like a provision, the Swedlow.
I see the Swedlow provision.
Right.
That he must be a leader.
And I think that, you know, I mean, Rita Swedlow, the mom, was the head counselor.
Carries some weight.
And, you know, I always forget that's who Alex was. Alex was Rita's son.
Right. But the thing is, he wasn't
Rita
just
Blumstein's
that. Like,
son. That's funny. I never really, as it sounds, I just didn't put the two together.
No, he wasn't Rita Blumstein's son. He was Rita Swedlow's son.
Wait, who's Rita Swedlow? Oh,
she was
the head
counselor.
Whoa,
right?
I was having a brain freeze. Got it. I'm with you now.
I mean, a very important person.
But confusing that there's two Ritas, and they both hold, one's like the first lady of Swago, and the other one's like, you know, the president of Swatuna.
Yes.
President.
Right.
Chief Operating Officer.
You know, well, that's why you may have to say Aunt Rita and Uncle Dave. Maybe that's why
she's
called.
The aunt. Yeah, she's not our aunt. She would be the girl's aunt, but not ours, the Swedlow's mom.
Right.
All right.
But, you know, maybe I think that, you know, Kurt, who, you know, might be the most wonderful person in the world.
It's a cool
I
name,
don't
Kurt
know
Swedlow.
Kurt at all.
Right.
Phoebe, the sister, was amazing.
I remember that name.
Phoebe was really cool. And Alex, as you guys spoke about last week, really great guy. Kurt seemed to be absolutely silent, and I was on his team in Color War, and I never heard him say anything. But I think that they felt like they had to make him a leader, but there was nobody else. So he was a little tenant, and they had a different sweater.
That's almost
Was it the pullover V-neck? Because they pulled those out in what, 77 or 78?
I don't recall those.
And those guys gave them back, and then they got the real sweater.
It did, really?
They tried to give a group of leaders like
a
V-neck?
Yeah, like Doug Ostrove or whatever that year was, because he was one of the guys.
I would have felt fucking shafted.
He got a V-neck. He got a V-neck.
Bullshit.
Three guys got V-neck pullovers. David Rubin, I remember. And
V-neck pullovers.
They were disappointed by it, and then they had a ceremony where they gave the sweaters at Color World Lineup back to Dave.
But
and then the next day they got real sweaters.
They had real sweaters, yet they still gave them these.
Yeah, we don't.
What
really
was the reasoning behind
it?
It's like, we ran out of inventory.
They ordered those pullovers. 50,
right.
You know,
but it wasn't a pullover.
Dave's like, Rita, at some point we got to dump these pullovers.
This is the year.
This is the year we're going to push pullovers.
Put back into.
You know,
we'll get the sweaters back in next year.
Now, you know, remember, I was like 9 years old, so if I remember correctly, it seemed to have like less cable in it. It was probably a nicer sweater.
Less cable.
You know what fiber it is, right?
Yeah,
it's 100%
polyester.
Acrylic.
Those things looked like a fire hazard and felt like it. First of all, they were hot as
hell. They were waxy. They felt like wick.
They were so thick and hot. So you didn't really want to wear it like as much as you did want to wear it.
Yeah, I know. You did all the time because of...
Just interject so I don't forget to say this. An Alex Swedlow note.
Go ahead.
Because it's related to the ski slope. I have this one memory. We were inters. And it was you were, I think, only allowed on to the ski slope about then when you were on that row.
Yeah,
I don't think Rangers
get the
were allowed
fuck out
on.
Of here. Yeah.
But inters, you sort of every now and then could get there. And one time we're there with the seniors and we're all singing... Friend of the Devil, the Grateful Dead song. And Alex Swedlow just comes down and you see in his slow style and has this big smile on his face. Like you could just see him. And I just remember that as one of my main ski slope moments, him being so happy seeing us sing this Dead song. And he was amazed that like everybody was into Friend of the Devil. Like it was very cool. Anyway, yeah. Let's not digress. But well, that's my biggest Alex Swedlow moment.
So and that's one thing I want to make clear. Like, Swedlow was so cool because we said, oh, because he was Rita's son. But you know what? He would have been, even if he wasn't Rita's son, he would have been just a legendary character. I think that was like sort of this extra thing you almost forget about.
He didn't need the Swedlow collar.
He didn't know that.
He didn't need the collar.
Right.
He would have.
The collar.
That's what we're talking about.
They didn't need to, you know, give him a different sweater.
Just Kurt was a little more needy. Kurt needed those extra whatever help he could get.
It was an interesting thing. So in any case, you know, we count to six, and we're like, we don't even know where the hell Moose is. I don't know why not. And we're walking up to Dave's house, and I see Moose. And Moose says, you know, hey
what's up?
Where are you going? You
going to go to the Artesian?
And I realize he doesn't know anything. And I say, I'm, you know, going to Dave's house.
We're apparently you're not going, Moose. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, anybody who's gullible leader, step forward. Not so fast, Moose. And I said, we got the tap. I don't think you're a leader, Moose. And he's like,
Wow, that's sad.
That's bullshit. That's no way. You know,
and all you guys, like, you didn't believe he was getting shafted. Because when you hear back the story.
I couldn't believe it. I thought that.
It seems minor, the whole Sagamore thing.
Well, you know something? I think that, you know, Moose said it wasn't that. Maybe he thought it was more the Rita thing with the candles.
Even that, though, that was
it wasn't
too.
Only the volleyballs. It was the twitching as well.
That gets a little personal.
Oh, I thought it was just...
I thought it was just the large breasts.
Making fun of a woman's natty now.
I think Roy sort of put him in a bad position because Roy is like, yeah, twitch like Rita, you know. So I don't think that helped. But
I don't remember her as a twitcher.
She had a little...
You got a video of this, I guess.
I'm so sorry.
I love Rita Blumstein.
You had that little tweet.
I visited her until she was in her mid-90s.
Did you really?
I would knock on her door in the summer, and she would say, Eddie Burke. I mean, God bless Rita Blumstein.
I hear you on that.
I love Rita Blumstein.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all of our descendants.
I have to ask you something before you got back here, Howie. Ed was telling me how he and another group of some of his, you know, peers on his same age, went to the Blumstein house in Brooklyn. What was that like?
All right. Let me just finish this, and we'll go back to
the Blumstein place.
Sorry,
I like to bounce around.
That's great.
I went to his house once.
You went to Blumstein's
house? I went to his house once. I was just placing it in my mind. I did. I think before I was a waiter, we went there, because he had to sort of give us the whatever the spiel was about
before
being a waiter there.
Oh, I guess because I, like, came midstream. He didn't
you make
me
You went on a teen
dumb.
Tour.
I did a teen tour slash being a waiter. Anyway, Ed, continue.
So in any case... He at first doesn't believe me, thinks I'm like pulling his leg, and finally he says, okay, and he's very philosophical, like, oh well, as he said, you know, that's life, what can you do? I do think it was the Cousin Brucey thing. I think he was upset that Moose...
That he wouldn't write the apology letter,
insulted
right?
his son, although Cousin Brucey was insulting Moose. Moose was just better than Cousin Brucey. He was really funny.
Doesn't that say it all?
And I remember the
Cousin
best...
Cousin Brucey should apologize.
The best Moosack, okay? Here, would you be the Swedlow character? Okay, here, I'm going to hold up.
I have in my hand.
I have in my hand the final envelope. Made to see Jack roll in your sleeping bag or whatever.
I don't even remember that literally, but that's good.
Andy Luger... And public toilets.
Andy Luger and public toilets. What could this be?
What are two things Swetona girls try to avoid?
Oh!
Boom, boom.
Good thing Andy Luger's dad wasn't on the show.
That was a sample of, you know, the Moosack comedy. It was great stuff. It was. And I think that Cousin Brucey was upset, from what I understand, and it was only until a couple of years
Why
ago that
did anybody care what Cousin Brucey had
Because I think
to
I
say.
Think
Who
Dave
cares?
Did, because he was the big celebrity to come back.
It's funny when
I
got to
tell
Brucey.
You, that's not a very big celebrity. No offense to Mr. Brucey.
Listen, you're not going
to get
the argument.
Brucey. To my
next family.
Uncle Dave and Cousin Brucey.
You know, I have no first cousins.
Listen,
I think
family.
I have one in Cousin Brucey.
But, you know, I do think that was a bigger part of it than... You know, then
and who got the selection? That who would have been
that
not
Ozzy
there?
Guy? The Ozzy guy was the name I didn't know.
Well, you know,
and if you don't want to go there,
no, I'm happy to
I
go
can,
there.
I can appreciate that.
Everyone's still alive.
To go there, but let's just finish the Moose story, and I'll get there very quickly.
We so bounce then, around, as you notice.
Very philosophical. And by the time we came back from that meeting, Moose was screaming, yelling, and throwing shit, and was like ready to explode. At any time during it, like like I said, we were getting killed as the seniors, and Moose like during the punch ball game, like.
So he's on your team.
You know, like yes, and oh, I think they put so him he's on getting my killed team because they thought
Moose was a little
guy.
Volatile. You're saying,
like, you know,
not only did he get trapped, now he's losing softball 18-2
during punch ball. Like he nearly killed three of his own teammates. It was so that was.
I can only see Moose sliding into home. You want to clear the way when that happens.
So Swago did not deputize me to do it. They actually had no plan, and they were just.
So you took it upon yourself to do it?
That proves what a good friend you are, that you actually did that.
It does.
Yeah, they all,
if you saw Moose's wife cheating with someone, you would say something. You're a good man. You would say something right to him.
All
right,
I'll admit it. Me and Robin have been...
hey, I didn't want to go there, but that's where this is going to go.
Whom I did... You know, he talked about the advertisements. He met her in the ads. I always had like parties at his house where I used to do very well with Brooklyn girls.
Wait. Step back a second. You had parties at Moose's home?
You know, yes, in Brooklyn. When we were like young guys. Like
you were chilling out in Brooklyn together.
He was living with a friend, this guy Stu, was like the summer ad. I was the he was the winter.
Right.
You had his mooses. He had.
So you were like you were Moose's best friend
at Swago.
At Swago, right? Yes. Like he was your like Howie and I.
I don't like the at Swago conditional thing.
Well, he had his best friend for
I love Moose and we're great friends, but you know we didn't hang out as maybe as much as you guys did. You know, we saw each other a few times.
We didn't really hang out all that much. You know, it was hard.
I lived in New Jersey. He lived in on Long Island. You can only we definitely connected.
Meet in the city and walk around. You know,
but it's not like it's not like 14 or 15 year olds are calling each other every day, and
we've been good friends for 45 years.
That's an amazing statement,
right? And I would say the person who I spent the most nights under the same roof, you know, my wife, my brother, maybe one girlfriend that I live with, and Moose. right. So, you know, it's a lot of time.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with you after this non-commercial message.
All right. We are back.
And then...
I love the smooth transition. So we were talking about Moose and the Shaft.
So we go to Dave's house and we say, like, you know, we can't believe that Moose is not a leader. We're talking to Dave, like, are you know, kidding? You know, Moose is not a leader. I mean, who else deserves to?
What did Dave say?
And he was like, well, I didn't. He said something. I remember this. And again, it's a long time, so who knows what your memory says. But he said, I didn't think we can get six leaders out of that bunk. And do you guys remember Sandy Pollock, the head counselor?
Yeah, I do remember the name, but I don't remember him.
Well. He just did not get Swago, and he was there.
Yeah, they had a few of those.
And his answer was, I didn't think we could get one Cold War leader out of that bunk. And we did.
What does that even mean?
There's a lot of those guys that come from 1 year and the old school guy.
We didn't like him, and he didn't like us.
What, you needed to redistrict so that you had enough members? Yes. What does that mean? Who cares? Well, it was L.A. and L7.
You're saying that bunk should be grateful that there's that many leaders.
What choices do you have? You have L7 and L8 is your choices.
And I will say that if I were more evolved at the age of 15... You know, I really
don't,
have like...
Don't be hard on yourself, Ed.
A little bit. I sort of regret not just saying, you know what, if Moose isn't a leader, you know...
That I'm not? And starting,
I don't want to be a leader. And it's been something that, cool. In some ways, I've felt over the years that... I wish I had the balls to do when I was 15.
Howie, I don't know.
Do you regret not doing that?
A little, yeah, I do to a certain extent. I think that, you know, he's really a great friend, and I think that it would have been like, it meant so much to him.
Look at Ed using our
really
platform to get...
No, I like that. But there's no way he could have expected that from
he's
you.
Using
no,
our,
he wouldn't want you to either, he I would
didn't.
Imagine.
He know? Didn't. And do you guys remember Coach Cleats?
No.
He was a friend of... He was in the whole Coach Nast thing. He came to the athletic director.
Right, pre-Coach Nast.
I think his name was Epstein.
Epstein Cleats?
But we called
We
called him Coach Cleats. He was one of the Dalton boys, whatever school they came from.
Oh, really?
Nast or whatever.
Yeah. Or maybe Nast came from, like, Lyndhurst. He came from more blue-collar-y than that.
He came from Suffolk. We really ended up having a great time with Coach Cleats, but it was a rough beginning with Coach Cleats. And I remember him saying that...
It's a crazy name, Coach Cleats.
We named him Coach
Cleats. He was obviously Coach Cleats. Right. Crazy name. His name
wasn't Donald Cleats.
His name was Epstein.
Donald Cleats Johnson.
It was like Michael Epstein, but we always called him Cleats.
Michael Cleats Epstein.
Oh, Donald Cleats. I think he knows my cousin.
Roy Herman named him Coach Cleats. And he actually is...
Coach Cleats.
And the reason I also think about that is because he did tell me at the time, he was like, well, if you're so upset, give up the sweater. And I was like, at that time, I was like, no, I'm not going
to
give up the sweater.
Fuck you, Coach Cleats. That's what I have to say to you right now.
He said that to you?
It's been a conflict.
So he laid the
scene. You know,
it's
like a confessional here at the ski slope.
Howie, I'm hesitant to bring it up, but you say don't be hesitant to bring it up. Howie had a similar story go on with him. It's untold. And it's been kept within the small group. Are you good with me going through this?
Tell away.
We arrived at Dave's house. 5 leaders had been selected.
Crazy.
Dave's there with Coach Nask, the successor.
No
to,
nickname.
To Coach
His real name is Nask.
I remember Nask. Nice guy.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
He was no. He was all right.
Oh, look at you being pussies on this thing.
All right. He was. I only knew it for that one year.
He was
not. You know.
Okay. Let me step back.
He's not. What did he ever do that was a bad thing?
He's not. Not nice.
All right. So there you go. That's
okay. But let me just rephrase it. He was a little cold and a little sterile. Is that a fair thing to say?
Fair enough.
Absolutely fine. He wasn't warm.
He's also a Christian man in a Jewish camp. It's a difficult situation.
He brought a degree of Protestantism.
No worries. Anyway, I didn't mean not nice. He wasn't mean. Just cold. Not warm. Anyway, Coach Nask is there with Dave.
Cleach was Jewish.
Nask was not. Daughters were very nice. Kids were nice, though. Yeah. Nice. They were nice families. His wife was a nice woman.
Kids went to camp, fit right in, I thought. Like,
he was a nice man. I'm just saying.
Hey,
wasn't
Sandy
the warmest
Pollock,
dude I've ever met.
I liked his daughter. And his son was a nice guy.
So we're there in Dave's house. There's 5 of us there. Dave's there. Coach Nast is there. And we all sort of turn and we go, well, who's the 6th? And they said, who do you think is the 6th? And to a man,
they all said,
Howie Bender. And they looked at each other.
It's like Survivor.
Right?
It was.
They looked at each other and we're like, well, that's who it is, right? And they're like, no, it's Jeff Gottlieb. We just can't find him.
I think he was doing a radio show.
To his detriment, this is probably what did Jeff Gottlieb in. It was 2 things. It was number 1, all 5 of us going, Howie Bender. You know, who else could it be? Not really thinking negatively about Jeff Gottlieb. It wasn't negative on him.
Jeff jumped up to our group. Jeff wasn't a second-year senior that year.
Right.
He
wasn't with us as inters, was he?
No, but the Gottliebs were a legacy.
They were.
Gordy was not a leader.
Who was not?
Gordy.
He was not either.
You know, Burl, Gordy, both legends. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Gordy wasn't, because Gordy would be, and I love Gordon, who
right.
was my brother's age, and who we went to reunions, and, you know, Gordon's just the greatest guy, but he was probably part of, like, what you would consider, like, the criminal element of Swago. And, you know, doing
well, then
so
I guess
many
it's just
things.
What is
that? I always picture firecrackers.
I don't think
I go right to firecrackers.
Firecrackers,
right.
M80s.
I don't think that Gordy, you know.
So it was justified.
It wasn't going to kill him not
fine.
To be a leader.
Okay.
He had other priorities.
Jeff. So all of us said Howie Bender.
The same with Glenn Herman, the middle brother of Roy. And
he was another
Neil.
One who wasn't a leader.
Right.
I don't know.
The
him
same
either.
Year as my brother. And everybody's favorite Herman, Michael Herman, who.
I don't know him either.
He never went to Swago. That's why he was everybody's.
Right. There are 4? Total 4?
Yes, Michael Herman was, we always joked, was everybody's favorite Herman brother because we didn't know him.
All right. Well, what Howie had working for him asked. Were 2 things. Number 1, that we were all advocating. We all clearly
sure.
said Howie. And second, A, they couldn't find Jeff Gottlieb. Ironically, I believe he was in WSGO doing the radio cast.
So, if you're looking to tap me now, go reach out to Gottlieb.
And Jeff
and, you know,
Gottlieb,
I will say that
but
Jeff,
one little,
Jeff controls tanks. So
well, that's what I fear. I feel like he was so distraught that he went off into the military.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Jeff Gottlieb had gotten caught drinking like a 6-pack of beer like the week earlier,
didn't he? You're right.
That is ultimately
right.
what did him in.
That is. They were able to pin
it
on something.
It wasn't that. So when they asked us why, we said, well, it wasn't anything negative about Jeff Gottlieb. It was, Howie's this, Howie's, you know, Howie's a leader. Right. He's a main person in our group.
Listen,
he's loved by everybody.
Listen,
he was a mayor. We all just were arguing on his behalf.
No, mayor.
And they literally, at that moment.
I had to hang the mayor.
They walked out of that room into another room. And came back and told us that they're going to go tap
Howie
Bender. I'll
be honest. The only reason I ran for mayor was because I knew I started in the Eagles and I had a short run to second.
You needed a resume builder.
I had to get that on the resume.
Now let's go for a second to like the criteria for being a leader, like paths to getting the sweater.
Well, I had the obvious path.
Listen,
just be good at
basketball.
Start
in 1972 and be the best basketball.
Just be good
in the
at basketball.
So what is athletics? You know, like you're one of the best athletes, particularly in basketball.
And I use that to my advantage. I turned to Noodles and Mwah. At the beginning of our week as leaders, and I said, they were like organizing the Apache relay, and I was doing absolutely nothing.
Yes, right. I remember.
And I said, don't worry, I will bring home Senior A, and I did. And that's what I'm going to do for our team.
He's taking his talents
And that is, I hate to admit, I'm just being honest here on the Ski Slope.
Uh-oh.
That's basically all I did for Color War. And I did the few.
No.
But Howie and Noodles were the organizers. They made it happen for our team.
It was sort of fun organizing.
Well, there you go. I enjoy that. I think I was sort of the
so one path's athletic.
A lot of that stuff. So
what's it, another path?
Okay, and if you're asking like who would have been left out if Moose had been the leader? Mm-hmm. So you have one is being really good in sports. So we had Neil Herman, who also had family and legacy issues, which I think, legacy
benefits or issues?
Yes, benefits. I mean,
okay. Pension plans. Not issues. Gone bad.
No,
you're right.
Like Lippy didn't have like legacy benefits. If there was
Lippy,
he wasn't going to get up to
Dave,
be a leader.
Dave, my fund.
But if you're a Gottlieb or another person that's respected, not that you weren't respected, Lippy,
but
the
person's parents had paid for like 32 years of combined camp might get them a little bit.
Well, that got Brad Goldsemp back in after taking a couple years. Your hiatus, didn't he?
Brad, if you're listening, no offense, but like, how was he the leader?
Because
like,
his father went to Swago.
So what?
So,
what do you mean, so what?
Legacy.
That's how it works. No,
legacy.
Exactly.
Welcome
to the world.
I don't know. It works for college.
All right.
It works for college, it works for private school.
Better you should please the guy that has a better shot of procreating for the next generation to come.
Well, I think
I don't even know what that has to do with Brad Goldsemp.
Other than I'm knocking his procreating ability, but...
And he was a weak leader. Sorry, Brad. He was good. I know you're not listening because you're not in the group.
How do we know? We're on the other team. We don't know. What,
they
did you have
lost,
a spy in there?
What did he do for them? Did he help in athletics? He might have been the best organizer ever, but he didn't do one event that actually helped for anything for their team.
Brad Goldsemp, for listening.
So we had,
he's a nice guy, though.
So we had Neil Herman, who had like the best basketball player and great... And the legacy thing as well with his brother Roy, and I think that even
but that
though,
was purely they were basketball player legacy, they were campers,
right? And
good
he was a clear leader.
Players.
That gets
and,
you far. Basketball.
And I think that
Senior A gets you really far being able to...
basketball in particular.
I think that I was going to be a leader. Just number one, I had been the mayor the year before.
You were first year senior mayor?
I was. It was the most opportunistic thing.
You're like a John F. Kennedy, man.
It was. It was not like Obama. it was like, fuck, look at that.
Just out of curiosity before, who was the hand bone during your years?
I was hand bone.
I thought you were. That's why I asked.
I didn't know that. Okay. You were hand bone.
I was the first.
I have a vague memory of that.
Give me your best hand bone. Give me your best hand bone. Do you have any memories?
Hand bones say there's no such thing as gravity. The earth sucks.
Hand bone.
The only hand bone I remember that I repeat is hand bone say, if you're grandmother had balls, she'd be your grandfather.
That brought some wrath, I think, from Dave, too.
Yeah. Dave got pissed. He jumped up at that one.
Yeah, he jumped up quick.
That's over the line of hand bone.
Transgender
cross
shit.
The hand bone
done.
Line. Now I think my best one is hand bone say, Swatona girls must be Democrats. They never work undercover. May have been my best one. So
really,
who could pass it on?
Name up like the balls commented. Right.
But it was a
who's hand bone for that? Who's hand bone for that one?
Is it your grandmother or balls? That should be your grandfather. I feel like it was a.
I don't think it was either one of them.
That was a classic one.
No, my hand bones were Nakami Noodles.
What was Matty Roseman? Sorry to digress, but Matty Roseman was throwing bread across the mess hall. I'm thinking, was it during one of these?
It was watermelon. I thought.
Was it watermelon?
It was
even
watermelon.
Worse. What motivated all that?
There was a Matt the Water Rat.
He was kind of a sick little kid when he was a little kid.
The Rosemans. I remember the youngest one had Freddy, the Anarchy's Cookbook, and he was 8 years old.
Yeah, what?
The Anarchist Cookbook, and he was like in the middies.
Thank God the internet didn't exist in his day.
Holy shit.
God knows what have happened.
Yeah, the Rosemans were a little scary. I remember Freddie as a leader, too.
I remember coaching Freddie at his senior A game, and he was, I think, a first-year senior that year. And I was coaching Ricky Friedman's team, I think.
Right.
And they were playing against Klausner, and our boxing...
Ricky versus Klausner, so...
Our boxing won on Klausner. With Freddie Roseman as our defensive stalwart, held him to like 44 points.
Awesome.
It was,
awesome.
Nice.
It was not a great night.
not a great night for Freddie.
My senior A game moment.
So, are there any other things from our talks with Moose that you feel need clarification?
But let's a little bit more criteria.
You are a teacher. You really like to get through.
I like to get through one by one, get through the whole curriculum. I have a lesson plan here, guys.
We ramble. Apparently, we're going to stay structured.
God damn it. I have my lesson plan here.
Hey, okay, all good.
But you talk,
I think we found our producer.
So Mitch Kaplan was also a great athlete,
right.
A really nice guy, and very tall, which helps as well. Andy Luger also.
Once again, 6 foot two.
Yes, 6 foot
qualifying Jew, very tall from the Wayne County.
Gotta count the
throw,
though.
Do you remember
the
Mitch Kaplan's jump shot?
He was a good shooter.
Like Jamal Wilkes over like
he
his
did.
Head.
He had like two hand kind
you
of.
You couldn't
thing.
Block it. He was like 6 foot
right,
one.
And he sprung up a little bit, got some pretty good jump on it, and was way behind his head, if sweet. I remember right.
And in the Senior A game, the problem was is that they had Mitch Kaplan, and then they had Andy Luger. Do you remember Andy
I
Luger?
Do.
I
do.
I just knew Sutona girls.
Who, by the way,
based on Moose,
Moose and I have made it a point in our lives to never, ever spell his name correctly. And I think
is it A-R or E-R?
It's E-R, and we've always
I always
used,
thought it was A-R.
We would use it I-R, U-R, A-R, and we would always... even I think in the color war thing, we got them to like change the spelling to
on the plaque.
Wrong
it's wrong.
I like the booklet. Oh, it's okay. Like Lugar. We also went
I
to. Think,
I swear, I remember it as Lugar, so it yeah. may actually be on the plaque as
it
Lugar.
It might be. We might have had them change
it.
No, that's wrong.
And he's protesting. He's like, no. The other two boys.
And Lugar and I were the two who always argued with each other during color war. He was on the green team. I was on the white team. And so I guess that Lugar was very big, strong guy, an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we went to see him play in a high school game.
Oh,
Tenafly.
Really?
We all, Jake and Mitch and Ozzie and Moose, we all went out to Tenafly, slept at his house.
All right. So he was good enough to be a star on his high school team, too.
Well, he played offensive line, mm-hmm. and we, like, during the game, and it was a little bit embarrassing, but we're, like, yelling chants for an offensive lineman, and we run out at the field at the end of the game and carry him off to, like, do everything we can
it's
to
the most glorious
him.
Moment ever on the football field.
And Moose and I used to torture this guy who could have killed either of us, but he was like a gentle giant. Mm-hmm. And remember one year, like, chased me all around the camp, and he caught me and just said, asshole. And I was like,
but didn't
shit.
Do anything after
didn't,
that.
I was like, why did I run so much? So I think Luger and Mitch had athletic props, and Luger also had some family stuff as well.
What about this Ozzy guy? Because he's the one guy that I wasn't sure who he was.
His father, his sister... were both
legacy,
Lawrence.
The legacy.
Now, the reason that I think that it might have been Ozzy is not the leader is he may have been a little bit younger, and he may have come back as another year for a camper.
All right.
So he might have become a third-year senior.
Mm-hmm.
And
was there a time he wasn't in your group? He
like
was
a valid thing.
Well, for at least 3 years he was, but he was a little bit younger. But, very quiet guy, and during Color War was very Kurt Swedlow-like, said nothing.
Right.
And Neil was sort of like you. It's like, yeah, I'm going to play basketball.
That's my role.
So, I had a lot of...
I have a master plan. For
and then there was Dave Jacobs, who's a great guy, Jake.
My counselor.
Jake, who was also...
I jam with him.
...was Roy's favorite, like Roy's pet, even mm-hmm. more than Neil. And he also had the lead in the senior play, and that's another.
Did as did I.
Well, that's another.
Point. You want to get into thespian Swagolites.
Oh, you think being the lead in the senior play
yes.
is a path?
Absolutely.
Listen, man, we've got Laurence Olivier over here because he turned it down.
I turned down it in my second year senior.
Well, you may have had other paths to it, but I think it helped Don.
Had I not had other paths, I might have had to accept. The role as the music
it.
Man.
He made a scene at the canteen.
I did, splashing Lucille in the puddle. What was that about?
He was cast his first year as the lead in the
Anything
play.
Anything goes, Billy Baldwin.
And he did a fine job. He was terrific.
Fine.
Terrific.
Fuck you, fine.
The reviews
amazing.
Were incredible. So anyway, amazing. So based on that, the second year, obviously, and he's also taller than everybody else.
Well, the reason I got the job in the first place, here's the only reason I got the lead in the play in first year, senior year, because I was the only guy in the seniors that had a voice that could actually make it to the back of the social hall. That's it.
That was it.
Well, I'm honest about it.
But
and I had a tall presence, I suppose.
But then he came through.
And Jake could sing.
Oh,
Dave Jacobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're Jake could sing.
Jake had a part two in Anything Goes.
He did. And
he was like an English
He had a song, too. He goes, "At words poetic,
I'm so
no, that was
pathetic.
The main one. That's Anything Goes.
We
did the
game.
Let's misbehave. That's what he did. There's something
anyway,
wild
don't
about
let us get into Cole Porter.
That's so outrageous.
So I think but Moose would have replaced either Ozzy or Jake because while I think the lead or the senior play had some bearing, it wasn't the strongest thing.
This is the first podcast where we're finishing stories.
There
I
you
like
go.
This. Excellent.
Okay,
continue.
So we could produce a couple of other Let's talk about, because you know, Jeff Gottlieb, I think, is a big shaft. And Jeff Gottlieb, by the way, who was the
cutest. You're making me guilty now.
See, that's why I avoided the subject. Now you know why I didn't go in.
Listen, you
know, I don't
want
to give angst to my best friend.
Listen, I mean, you know, he was the cutest kid at camp for many years. He was.
He's the
cutest
guy in the military.
There's a picture of him now. Like, he's like the head of the tug of war.
Yes, I mean, is there like
there's nothing
like,
cuter than that.
That
like,
could be a Flash
tug of war.
I think he started when he was like 5 years old. He was one of those guys.
I mean, people like Chris Schechter, who I think like talked about being mentally damaged when that old 1999 website, like his parents sent him there when he was like 3 and a half.
Well, gee, it's a shocker.
I'm 19 months.
And Scotty Bernstein and Johnny Lieberman, like
they all went. They were just saying they went there when they were like 5 years old.
Like younger,
I saw them say that
younger.
On Facebook.
I know. It was like they had to have daycare. It was like daycare for them. They were 4 years old.
There was a woman in the Jay's bunk. It was a nursemaid. She was able to.
She had breast milk.
She had multiple teeth.
Right. They all right. They all they breastfed the kids at the Jay's.
I mean, could you imagine?
Those days were all about
that.
Those
the best days
day.
Johnny ever had. why can't I get back to those days?
I remember Chris Schechter writing like that. His parents,
Chris
like,
Schechter,
you know,
is that who you're talking about? Chris Schechter, like the
who like
one of the Bernstein Allen,
the Bernstein Allen
combined
Lieberman,
with them. I don't know. How he's
cool. That was cool that they were a clan.
That whole incestuous clan
right. that had something to do with Alan Garpett.
They all met at Swago and Swatoni years before.
There's something to that.
But, you know, he was talking about, like, his parents just, like, wanted to go to the beach club without the kids. 4 years old, you're right.
It was. I mean, thought of it as daycare.
I mean, I was 8, which I think was
that's a normal age.
Age.
That's a normal
7.
Age. Anything, seven and over is where it's,
but
I think
4,
is a little
you know,
tough.
Is young.
4 is really
4 young. Is...
It's like child
Jesus,
abuse.
I remember my son at Burke at 4 years old. No way. No fucking way I'd send him to camp.
It's crazy.
I mean, I don't know if we were going to preschool when we were 4 years old, let alone to sleepaway camp.
No.
So Jeff Gottlieb was also there probably because Gordy was there. He just put up a plaque on Facebook like when he was a J in like 64. And he's, you know, 2 years older than me, so he was...
Thing about Jeff though is like there was a whole bunch of guys who were
Jeff
not
who? Gottlieb,
Jeff Gottlieb.
Gottlieb
who were
little gots
like they weren't in our group when we were Rangers and Inters and then all of a sudden there was that when we first year seniors like Noodles Gottlieb
they moved things around you
yeah,
know
a couple of guys jumped
I got moved
into
around early I was a frosh a midi and then they asked me if I wanted to move to the softs because I was a decent athlete whatever and I skipped the cadets and I was always I'm a year younger than Howie. And that was just, you know, it happens
you know,
all the time.
For a couple of years, our group was in the same group with, like, Moss and Gropper and those guys, and then we weren't. But those guys were, you know, a year older than us. But I guess 1 year they had, like, Eagles 2 and Eagles 1, and we...
Really? There was a double Eagle?
Yes, double Eagle.
Wow. Was, fucked up. That's
cool.
Yeah, it was weird stuff, and, you know...
Couldn't come up with another name?
I had a...
Eagle 1 and 2.
I think, like, they got rid of the Sofs, and there was one group leader. It was, like, a huge group, and sometimes we did shit together, and sometimes... It was, like, first...
That's complicated, man.
Yes.
Just to have another group. The Falcons.
And other interesting things is, you know, there's talk, and you'll see there are people who are bitter about, not the year that I was leader, but the year before, the year of Krause and Moss and those guys.
Yeah.
Just before you go there, I want to just say one thing. Sorry.
Keeps on track there.
No, just keep it. He'll keep on. He has notes there. He's a teacher. He's got the notes.
Oh, I haven't seen
those.
He's
got fucking note cards, this guy.
Awesome.
This is awesome. I felt good when, after, you know, so David Feldman, who's one of our, you know, close guys. I love Dave. Couldn't be a greater guy.
There is not a nicer guy.
Pure niceness. Just purely authentic
niceness. Generous. Just
100%.
Sweet.
Nothing to do right, exactly.
And remember, my first ever sort of contract.
To Dave Feldman.
My first ever contract on the 99 site was, I think somebody had proposed that Ed Burke.
By the way, the person.
That's my glass clinking.
The person behind the Swago Urban League. Without Dave
that's what I was going to get at. No, that's what I wanted to get at.
He's the head counselor.
So Dave and I started playing in a basketball league maybe 15 or 20 years ago, whatever. And we did our thing.
At this point.
We did our thing, and then it waned. And then all of a sudden,
like the halfway point
we started a Swago basketball team.
That was fabulous, particularly the first
year. I have to say, I don't know, for a year or two,
it was
I loved it. I really got to get to know you, Krause. I knew Krause. I didn't know Krause. And a few of the other, Gary Gropper, I really didn't know him
exactly.
whatsoever.
Exactly.
And I have to say, I didn't know you, and, no. and that was a very important thing, and I'm really glad that that happened.
It was great.
Because it connected me to a more whole so for like group the post, of guys. You know, yeah.
Going out, having a beer after the game. And
yeah, it really became like...
And Moose would show up at a few games, sure. and people were being involved. Yeah. It was a great thing.
Dave Allen
happens yep. to be one of the nicest people
another really nice
out
guy.
There.
Yeah,
like,
and,
as
soup,
well.
And bleeds green and white.
And Mark Holtzman was on the team one
yep.
year.
Holtz was.
Silent Bear. We actually...
I will say this, just to give a further prop.
It was better before we needed the ringer.
But we held our own even when we didn't have
the
ringer.
Further prop to David Feldman. Nobody that I've ever met and known and seen in my life has gone from being a very average basketball player in his teen years to a fucking amazing basketball player now who has stamina at a level like I've never seen. David Feldman can run up and down the court for 48 minutes, 100%. Not even sweating, and it blows me away. And his amazing shot, and he's a great player.
And he's artful about it.
And the like best improved player ever.
I know. Well, that was the thing. In 99, right. somebody suggested you were
right.
the best,
well,
most improved player.
Talk.
And I was like, I have to interject.
Right.
It's David Feldman.
He played with Roy Tarpley. I remember talking
exactly.
about that. But you're right. Like, I would say, when I was in camp, you know, I was okay for many years, B team, and then I got better in A team.
Best on the B, worst on the A?
And my
you
brother.
And Wow were very similar, by the way.
And my brother is a great ball player.
How many years between you and your brother?
2 years.
Okay.
My brother was really a great ball player, and I was good, you know, and then I got
That's
better,
tough.
And I improved.
I never thought of the Burks as athletes. Please don't take that the wrong way.
Well, you know something?
Not that you
Brian's
weren't
like,
athletes. I don't mean that in a negative way, but
let me say
you guys
right.
were culturally a part of Swago.
That's better.
But I didn't look at you guys as, oh, they're the star athletes.
You're,
not bad, not good,
you're
nothing
half
negative.
Right. My brother was probably
he was pretty
the
good.
Best all-around athlete.
He was a little ahead of my time. Yeah. What years did you go?
He was,
what did you
And how'd you get to Swago? Like, what was the thing about
that? Well, my brother was there from 67 to as a camper from 67 to 73.
How'd he get there?
Well, that's why. I was 72
when
I started. So
I was there from 68 to 75, and my sister was there from 67.
You have a sister?
Yeah.
Did you know this, Howie, that he had a sister?
This is news.
She went to Swatona?
She was there from 67 to 67.
That's quite the legacy.
But one of her really good friends, the father went to Swago, and then his two daughters and his son.
Just a close friend went to Swago,
like,
brought
right.
you in, right.
So, you know, it was the Levins, Linda Levin, Susan Levin, Roger
God
Levin.
Bless them.
Beautiful people, the Levins.
You know, great people.
That's what got them. That's what got you into this room right now on the ski slope.
So, yeah, absolutely.
The Levins.
To the Levins. To the Feldman, the Levins. It is a Jewish camp.
That it is.
So that's how we got there. So again, awesome. My sister went to a lot of camps. Did not have a good experience at very many of them, but that's another story. And, you know,
we'll bring your sister on for that interview.
At this point, I'll lay down on the couch and we'll go for the rest of the.
What's her name?
Her name is Shelley.
I'd like to. We'll bring Shelley on at another time to find out exactly why she didn't care for Swatona.
Right. A special episode of.
I will not say the. I won't say the difficulty with Swatona's. But so my brother and I, though, obviously love Swago very, very much, and still
I always viewed
Brian,
the Burks
Brian
as
also,
Swago
yeah,
blood.
Brian too
and,
has that.
And we were
quality,
there, so. You know, a week ago with.
Yeah,
Krauss,
tell us. So what'd you guys
with
do?
Krauss. And you know, I called.
So you
my
couldn't
brother.
Get anyone else. It was the two Burks
you
and
know,
the Krauss.
It was very spur of the moment. Right. I called Moose, and Moose. Every time I call him, you know, he never
hems and hawes.
Listen,
you know, he's. You
know, we got him right on the podcast. I don't know what's the problem.
Yeah, he's whipped, you know.
I don't know. We got in touch with him pretty easily.
Yeah, listen, maybe he...
he's
maybe
really
not
more motivated to get himself out there
no,
than he
Moose,
was to go.
No, I should say that Moose wanted to go up this past Sunday. I said, Moose, I want to
Why do you keep
week.
Qualifying the Moose comments?
Just I love keep, Moose.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I do. I really around. Do.
He does.
But
no, that I know. That's obvious.
But, no, and then he
So you guys went up,
Sunday.
You and your brother,
my brother
Krauss
I,
went up. What did it look like to you?
Okay, and so I called my brother on Friday, said, you want to go up to Swago tomorrow? He's like, really? Like tomorrow? I was like, yeah, let's just do it.
It's all of like an hour and 55 minutes.
Yeah,
it's not that far.
Really, with no traffic,
the impression we had with no traffic, it's so fast to get there.
And he said, you want me to call Krauss? And he said, I said, sure, because last year we did the same thing, and Krauss met us there. We didn't go meet him in Short Hills, and... We met up there, and we.
Where's your meeting spot?
We met
Johnny's
at,
topless on the red side.
Well, you know,
which
were,
is closed, right?
We were talking on the way.
No, is it closed? I never know. We pass it all the time. Is that closed. Johnny's topless closed? What's up with that?
It's closed, right? It's closed. Yeah. Good times there as an Eagle, though, man. Good times.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You could get in there with the canteen book. They took tickets.
It's a good thing they accepted the canteen card.
Mr. Gonzalez. She
was pissed about that. He was pissed. Right. Pedro Gonzalez. Right.
Welcome, boys. Let me show you a boxing move.
I'm sorry. Ron Gonzalez. It is Johnny's, after all.
He trained horses in Monticello on the
side.
And
he was also 27-16 in his fighting career with 3 cauliflower ears. I won't get into where the third one is.
How great is it that his daughter ended up on the Facebook page?
Whose daughter?
Augie's.
Augie's daughter?
The Gonzalez's daughter.
Gonzalez's daughter. Cool. She was cool. No, I like seeing the legacy of...
And one of the kitchen boys.
The guys who were the adults.
Bernard.
Kitchen boys. I think we need to move past that term.
Yeah, I know. You know, we talk about that now, because in our day, like, the kitchen boys were all black.
And Moose said there were no black kitchen boys. There were black kitchen boys.
Are you kidding me? They were all black. Coach Nass used to bring up.
It's crazy that there was no adult that was like, listen,
kitchen boys.
Call them the kitchen staff.
And,
they were white.
You know, it's a shame that website that was Craig Weinberg put up in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember when it was up, I knew Craig also. You know, we went to camp at the same time. Mm-hmm. We weren't close. And he was trying, I think, to put together something to get the camp. And one time he took Moose and me, he invited us to Shea Stadium, and we had dinner at the Diamond Club. And I think he was trying to get like a...
Yeah, boys, here's the dream.
IPO together.
Let me show you my vision. Yes. Step back.
Can I get a projector for my PowerPoint?
Right. And I'm not sure. And then he had that reunion. And he just, a couple of things he never did. He never put together the plan to, like, try to raise money for it.
But he proved
that, like, oh my God, you can put a group of, like, former campers together. Alan said this in the first podcast. In 10 minutes and have 1,000 people. Like, you should have started Facebook.
And then after talking to the
guy
over some
whoever had that fucking site that managed
Craig
that should have been. Not Craig Weinberg, but whoever was the platform should have been, we need to expand this and let everyone make up a page.
Sagamore book.
Kick myself
anyway.
And I was trying to tell Craig, like, don't let this thing die. Let me take it over. And, like, for whatever reason,
he just went,
like, radio silent, and I couldn't get in touch with him. And I, like, called his catering place.
Yeah.
And
I think he just
wanted to get a party. Then I tried. I made a new thing.
And like, there was a lot of writing on that.
There was a ton. And you know what? I actually went through. There was a point for a few weeks. This is 1999. I remember it. Where... Adam Liebner, Mark Holtzman, and a few others were telling about the revolution. And
it was fascinating, and we're going to have the World Series. We didn't know this stuff.
We're playing
the World Series, and everyone was like, I'm not watching the World Series.
I went out of my way to cut and paste every piece of copy into some old laptop, and then the laptop crashed, and I don't have it. Why we didn't,
back
you know what, if it was
up,
a little earlier, forget, I never fucking back shit
come
up.
On. Even with like Dropbox at this point? Like,
at this point, Craig now it's Weinberg, easy, you do it in like the cloud,
Craig Weinberg,
it's
if you're listening, 2010 on. Get this thing back, Craig Weinberg. It's archival footage.
Who's got the server?
You know what? It exists out there, so he could go.
No, it doesn't.
But I doubt
it. It's on some server.
It's on a server somewhere, but I doubt the company that had it exists, so we're never going to be able to access
it.
One of our game plans is to bring back the handful of people who were literally at the center of the end of Swago. Howie and I were in there. We were in the middle.
In oral history.
We're going to redo this. Broadway teleplay. You know, really an amazing story. It's an amazing fucking story. It's like,
just
blows me away.
You can actually record oral histories and like put it
it's
together.
It's amazing.
Have like Holtzman and then have the...
No, we thought about doing it in radio format, like a 1920s radio show.
Like where we actually like reproduce it all and like I do the thunder
sound. Listen, Sheldon, I'm not going for your stuff.
You boys will get out of here now, or Stan and I will take you and lasso you and make you.
And, you know, it wasn't only Mike Morse putting us together. And I do remember that thing when...
Oh, hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold on. We seem to have... we're coming apart at the seams here.
I don't think they're hearing anyone but Howie right now.
No, they are. We're just not hearing ourselves.
My apologies to all. I got a little out of control and I leaned back too far and jacked my cord out of the cord, whatever that means.
We're going to pause for a second.
We're going to pause for a moment while we figure things out.
We'll be right back.
This is Earl Chin.
Earl Chin, Rastaman.
And that's how we had that big basketball game between the guys from my era and the guys from your era. It was through that website.
Do me a favor. Help circle me back here. What are you talking about?
the website. You know,
previously on the ski slope.
The website. Our listeners know. The listeners know.
Okay, so the listeners may know, but I don't.
All right.
So
I got to tell you, this is some operation these guys have going here.
Listen, it's sort of a ski slope.
But I remember there started to be like trash talking between the guys.
On the website.
On the website about who would beat who, and we ended up arranging a game.
Oh, the old guys, the young
guys. The old
guys
against the young guys.
I'm back.
I'm back in the loop on our discussion.
And that was also because I would say in my mid-30s, my game was pretty good. Now my game is, you know, for shit. But I remember somebody saying, hey, Ed Burke, most improved player. And Moss said, not for nothing. Ed Burke can't touch what Dave Feldman has become.
Dave Feldman is a dramatic change.
Take my
dramatic, I, honestly.
I went from being Phil Jackson-like.
Dave Feldman, to further this, I remember, you know, I hope I'm not embarrassing him, but David Feldman never would swim. I don't think he knew how to swim. He was afraid to swim.
I think he knew how to swim.
He did not. Ask David. Really? Go fucking get on Facebook and tell him to call in right
now. Moose Miller could not swim either.
I'm not saying when we got to seniors.
I didn't know that.
Early in our years, I don't think Dave liked swimming.
I know he didn't like it. I don't know if it was directly because he didn't know how to do it.
I believe that Dave felt uncomfortable swimming.
All right. Well, that's different.
I don't know why we. Why did we get? I don't think he was a swimmer.
Moose could not swim.
But Dave was not a great athlete. Great guy, not a great athlete. But honestly,
good athlete though. I mean, he was decent.
He was in the mix. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying trying to say he came from being completely like a terrible athlete.
He was coordinated. He had good hand-eye coordination.
But I've never seen anyone improve at basketball like he did.
He's artful about it.
And it's funny Moose was a pretty good athlete and deceptively fast for a sizable guy.
Was he? He was like rerun on What's Happening.
Yeah,
quick on his feet. Big, but quick on his feet.
He was deceptively fast. He had a good jump shot. He was
Fred Berry, that is, by the way, just FYI.
But he could not swim, and I remember like
I could see him not being able to swim.
With a kickboard and a, you know, and it was just it was very sad.
Swimming was always a weird thing.
And especially because of the lake. And so we were up there last week. And so we went, and you know, it was Krause and my brother and me, and we met at Swago. We actually met on 17. And
so you went up with your brother, or you all went separate?
No, my brother and I met my brother at his house.
Okay, then you met Krause.
Drive up in a van.
We passed Krause.
We're going to get there.
Yeah, Krause was talking. We ended up seeing each other on 17, and we pulled into Swago, and we looked for Joe and Mimi, who sometimes are occupied campers that are on the outdoor basketball court.
Who are you talking about?
Wait, Joe and Mimi
are
who?
Relatives of the people who own the camp.
The people that own it, okay.
And I've met them. They're really nice folks, and they've been very generous to me when I've been on the camp.
Said, no worries, go walk around, enjoy yourself.
I've met the sons of the Rogers, the owners.
Okay.
And one of them once like had one of these four-wheel things and took my wife and my daughter and I like on a ride around camp.
Wow.
And they were sort of asking like, so what's this and what's that?
That's
really
kind of cool.
Nice.
That's nice. Yeah, they cared.
It's nice.
Nice that they cared a little
bit. They're educating them as to what's in there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really, and then he took
Look, they own this land. You know what? It's cool. Who doesn't want to know the history of your land? That's awesome.
He took us over to Swatona, took us into the like retrofitted bunk with like a kitchen, you know, nice place to
live. That's awesome.
That had to look cool, right?
So they took like an actual bunk and turned it into like
a place you could live.
Not luxury, but like a functioning place.
And they built that.
That's pretty fucking cool. That's what we wanted almost.
Built a house now there, really nice on Swatona.
As they should have. Right. I don't blame them.
And you know, the Swatona
looks. I like the retrofit.
Swatona is like they've, I think,
made it pristine and beautiful.
I try to respect the owners and you know, always ask permission when I go there because I don't want to, you know, trespass. Yeah. And apparently, I understand from other people I know that they're getting a little bit annoyed with
the volume,
too many.
The pilgrimage. Listen, you know, you're buying people's memories. It's a hard thing to say. Yeah. I understand.
It's hard to fight
property,
that. Hard
and if you're in a bad mood that day, it's hard to be like, all
you know.
Right.
So just to let you know, so Howie and I, six people, me, my brother, Howie, his brother, Adam Liebner, his brother, have been doing a trip up to that area for 22 years, Howie? 22 years?
1989 was the first one.
I, yeah.
Series,
and
whatever that is. 24, 23.
We basically, for us, it's just doing camp again. And we've turned where we go. The campground, it's camp for us. We don't interestingly, we don't always even go back to camp to see camp. We've seen it.
I agree. You know,
And we just love to go re-experience the experience.
It's the experience of camp.
Not like the physical attributes. The lake's amazing. And we've gone 22 years and 15 of them we end up on the lake. It's not like we don't go to the lake.
I'm more connected to the lake than the grounds at this point.
That's how we feel. We just like, so, but we like to do
it. We have a beautiful place that we go to. It's a great spot.
And the six of us just basically, it's...
Canoe trips were the greatest part of, you know, I love swing.
Well,
love
actually, the irony is we hated canoe trips.
I loved
it sucked. It was the worst
trip.
Part. If,
really?
If you ask me in 1981, what was the worst part of Camp Swiga, within 2 seconds, I'd be the canoe
trips. I loved it.
And these guys asked me the first year to go. I'm like, what are you fucking kidding me? I don't
think
I
can do the worst thing?
Canoe trips. Like, I hated that.
The worst thing and make it something?
Canoe trips are not part of our, it's a little part of our trip, maybe. We don't even always go on a canoe
trip. We had a good counselor thing, though, on our canoe trip one time.
We did. We had an awesome experience 1 year while the kids were doing a canoe trip, but it was more just like hanging out and watching the lightning. It was cool. But we had an amazing time. We love going back. We do get over to Swago most of the time.
Not the last 2 years.
We haven't the last 2 years, but it's just being up in that area. I guess we replicate the feelings that we had with the people that we're with, so we don't feel this need like we have to go back and be
and
on the
land. And we've
been
doing it so long that it's taken on its own
momentum.
It
is Swago to us now. We do this. It's Swago.
Right. And
we have a four-day thing, a three-day thing where it's Swago to us.
It's not even Swago. It's transformed.
And listen, it's a new route to the evolution of what Swago was.
It's like one of the secrets of Swago is it's not necessarily the Swago is the people. Right?
Exactly.
Right? You know,
you're my like, right. Like, talk to Moose, you're my example of that.
And sort of like, Swago, like, we didn't know each other at Swago, but, like, we're brothers, you know? And imagine that you were doing business with some guy that you didn't know, and you called, you found out, like, you both went to Swago.
Right, how what a connector.
It would be like, oh,
well,
shit,
I heard Michael
man,
Eisner.
You know?
Didn't Michael Eisner write a book that was all about, like, his camp is everything to him? Like,
right.
if a guy who was doing business with him went to his camp, that was...
So even if you didn't know a guy at Swago, it's like, oh, wow, like, if you went to Swago, in some ways you're in, like, the same fraternity, your brother.
Right. It's a fraternity at the end of the day. I mean, I don't like using that because I'm not, you know.
But so literally, though, because what is
a
fraternity?
Either.
It's a brotherhood. And again, I go back to, like, you're living with people for 2 months.
And it's a fraternity that you didn't
that
have
is your
to, like,
family.
Haze to get in. You're just in it
you're just
by
there.
Going.
Right.
And it's like, all right, we got to make the best of this.
So we went, and you
stack.
Know, and you talk about, now the thing is you guys know Krause. And
love him.
And with Krause, everything has to be extreme. You know, it can't just be we're going to do something and keep it simple. So, like, my brother, it was great, you know, spending time with my brother in the car and just being able to talk because we don't see each other as much as we'd always like. And then we, you know, see Krause. And so we go to Swago, and there's nobody, there's campers on the basketball court, but nobody else. And the nets are up, and it's actually a net, a chain net on one. It's great.
I like that.
And we played one-on-one. And I will say that, you know, Krause and my brother are in much better shape and are better ball players. I was like a Phil Jackson type.
The course
player.
Was the court was in good enough condition to play.
Yeah, it was playable. One was the rims could be a little like the one on the towards the social hall is a little bit bent. You know, a good shooting rim, I guess. We played on the one facing the ski slope.
Mm-hmm.
And
how
yeah,
appropriate.
And we there is a camper that and a table that you can use as like a pick for like a very long. Three, and so we, and because it was Krause, the playing had to be really, really,
intense.
Really intense.
Right,
so we were playing one-on-one.
Amazing shooter, by the way.
Oh,
that guy can shoot from the outside, man! What a fucking shooter!
But not only that, like he can
good
handle
ball,
the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such an asset,
and he's got sneaky moves. And my brother, you don't remember, my brother, I think, is one of the great Swago players. And of course, I'm biased. And he had one of the greatest senior A games where they lost by 1 point, but the teams were stacked, and he played amazingly. Guys on his team were blocking his shot. That's how bad they were. You know, like this one guy like blocked two of his shots.
Two?
Yeah,
it wasn't just a fluke thing. It happened twice, huh?
Steve Lamel, great power hitter, but
so Brian was the best athlete in the group. Like,
yeah,
overall?
I would say that he was the second best basketball player and probably the best all around athlete.
All right, who's the best basketball?
Bruce Auerbach, a great outside shooter, played for like Great Neck High School, and you know.
And soccer, like, was that anything like your?
No, soccer was something that
you
we
didn't
play
it at all.
Sometimes we had to. Sometimes I remember once we had to play in a tournament, and Coach Cleats, in the beginning, was yelling at us. And you know, it was like this is ridiculous. And then in color war, Sandy Pollock's son, Ricky Pollock, a really nice guy and a really good athlete. Not a color war leader because he only spent 1 year at Swago, the year that his father
this
was.
This Coach Cleats thing, by the way, is like right out of Archie comic
books. Yes, that's why we named him Coach Cleats. And he made us play. And in Color War, Ricky Pollock was a great soccer player. So during the soccer game, he was on the other team. They had like the best athletes on everything. I was just stood next to him the whole time. Because one thing I always did was play defense, no matter what it was. I was a sick defensive player.
Scrappy defensive guy.
No, I mean, I was like insane. You know, like, I was going to be in your chest. You know, and the whole time.
Defense.
And during the whole soccer game, it's like, Ricky, you're not touching the soccer ball today. In Kiyuma, in the final game, we were playing against Tioga. We lost by 1 point. It was a heartbreaking game.
I remember them, yeah.
You guys, buses came to this. And by the way, Iron Lake. It was Island Lake.
Oh, right. Iron Lake. Like, that
it
can't
was
be an
Island
name.
Lake.
Oh, okay.
Island Lake,
better.
I remember.
Yeah, not Iron Lake.
Iron Lake.
You guys did not win.
You know what?
I played in the Island Lake.
We have
under
too much respect.
Tournament.
What a cool T-shirt, Iron Lake.
Iron Lake.
Too much with silver and black.
It wasn't in Pittsburgh. Yeah, you know.
We didn't want to question Moose while he was here.
Moose is like facts, not always raw emotion.
It's close. I like
raw
that it's
emotion.
Close.
Iron Lake.
Island? Okay,
it was close.
Iron.
Iron Lake.
Is that on
Iron
your
Lake.
Note card? Correct Iron Lake mistake.
Yeah, it is, actually. It says Island Lake right here. It does say it.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm glad he did, because I was like, I walked with
him. Like, what the fuck was he talking about? I don't remember Camp Iron Lake.
Copperfields.
And we lost by one. It was a heartbreaking game, and we should have won the game.
Aren't
and
they
had this guy, Stewie Shapiro, like 6'3".
Stewie
Shapiro.
Jewish guy.
An all-city guard. He was a guard.
What does all-city mean?
I don't know what the hell. But and I remember we had...
That's what Stewie said.
We had three coaches.
He played
coaches.
For the... YWHA.
We had Roy Herman, Alan
Good
Epstein.
Good work on that acronym, man.
Alan Epstein, whose nickname was
Isn't
Super
that really
Jim.
A thing, though? YWHA? Young Man Hebrews Association.
Alan Epstein was Super Jew.
Okay.
Roy
Not
Herman.
Stewie Epstein. We had Alan Epstein Alan on Epstein. Our side to combat Stewie Epstein.
He was a little more committed to the Torah.
Yeah.
No, Alan Epstein, great Swago athlete. Roy Herman was one of our coaches who had our crazy press. And also scoreboard.
Never
was,
forgot that. Worked me to the bone.
Scoreboard was the morale guy. And
Mark Rogers.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. And Neil, by the way, was MVP of the KIT, even though we lost. That's how good he
was.
Played.
He?
I remember that.
Was he?
I do remember
wow,
that.
I didn't know
yeah.
that.
He scored like 35 points in the final.
Where did
game.
We go that year? We lost
it
in the finals.
It was at Kiyuma.
We lost
in the
at
finals.
Kiyuma, to
yes.
Kiyuma?
Yes. You know, maybe they did bust us over. What year is that?
75.
Maybe they did. Maybe
yeah, you know what? That's law for me. I remember
over.
The year. I think yeah. it was the 75. Must have been.
And we beat Kiyuma in the semis. And
right. Who
and
was
Stewie Acker? I had your fucking game on
Stewie
defense.
Acker.
I came out.
Stewie Acker.
I had my fucking nose and Stewie
wait,
Acker.
Wait, hold on.
How did
hold on.
The finals
hold on.
The semis?
Stewie Acker is a client of mine. We have discussed Kiyuma.
All right.
I did not. This is hysterical.
Stewie Acker's
we
company is brought
Stewie
is
Acker.
Sponsor.
Stewart Acker. Just Stewart Acker's family owns Sleepy's. They have it. Stuart Acker was a client.
I bought some Sleepy's once, by
and
the way.
We have discussed the Kiyuma tournament several times, and this is fucking
Swago
hysterical.
The semis.
So that's
at
the deal.
Kiyuma. Brian Taylor from the Nets is sitting on the Kiyuma side.
Oh. They brought
what?
The ringers, man.
Brian Taylor from the Nets?
He played 30 minutes.
Yeah, he was like at Kiyuma, like, oh, I'm fucking
that's
with Kiyuma
guys. That's so funny. What a connection. Like,
yeah,
one of my
I
clients.
I just remember. It's like, oh, they got, you know... Man. And we beat
Stewie Kiyuma. Acker was in your face. That's what you're saying.
I was in Stewie Acker's face.
He's getting shouted out on the ski slope.
My job.
Very nice guy, by the way.
I hated Stewie Acker in the year 1975 because I was taught.
Good man in 2013.
That's so fucking funny. What a coincidence.
You're going to. That guy, you know. And we beat Kiyuma. And then with this guy, Stewie Shapiro, Alan Epstein tells us if we
it's
hold Stewie.
Stewie's. It's one Stewie F.
You're right.
You got to break it up.
Stewie's are
it's called
there.
Mess.
It was the they said if we hold Stewie Shapiro to 20 points, we win.
That was Les Miller.
I
remember
like a,
Les Miller.
Like
wait.
Miller.
I remember Les
wait,
Miller going. Wait.
Finish this.
Go ahead.
Stewie Shapiro scored 21 points. We lost by one.
So Les was wrong. I remember Les Miller had Ruben Birnbaum. He had like a Klausner Ruben Birnbaum.
He had his rating
and
system
he says,
Swago point guards.
I would rather be down by one with the ball with 20 seconds than up by one on defense with 20 seconds. That's how much confidence I have in this team.
Well, in Birnbaum, right. In Birnbaum in particular.
We lost,
thought,
by the way.
I thought it was
actually.
About Ruben. I thought it was all about like his confidence in Ruben
Oh,
Birnbaum.
That Ruben would have the ball with 20s?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe
he was a big
was.
Ruben
anyway,
Birnbaum guy.
Sorry.
Well, Stewie Ackerman, you know, great guy. And,
well,
know,
you don't know
but
if
I'm
he's
so
a great guy. The guy went to Cuma. He and, could be an asshole.
So how did Cuma get to the finals if you beat him in the semis?
No, that was the semis.
And then we lost to Tioga by one.
Oh.
And there were a lot. There were Swatona girls at the game. It was great. It was
I was there. I remember Neil Herman.
Did you ever play any sport in front of the girls? Other than like a social that involved softball?
I don't recall ever doing that, no.
In 75. And what was great is it was because Neil Herman came up late. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I was the sixth man. And before Neil got there, I started. So all the girls thought I started. So that was really
well. That's
great.
What's
all
that's
that
matters?
That the girls don't think you're a basketball stud.
Adjusting my crotch.
They don't care. That's all they're going to listen to anyway. Is the introduction?
Yeah. What was our uniforms? I'm trying to remember.
We
what
had
we
the,
just
like
have?
The green Swago tank tops.
All right, hang on, everybody.
I'm just curious.
That's okay.
Sorry, we're just doing a little technical
emergency
stuff.
This is El Chin.
We're back. So, Ed.
Yes.
You have note cards.
I do have note cards.
You got a bunch of shit on those note cards.
I do. I have.
We've been at this
for an
hour.
And Alan was
going to
ask Ed off air, and I said, you can't. You got to ask him on air.
No questions off air. It's not about not being opaque and showing everybody.
Did I do the Andy Luger joke yet? Yeah, I think I did.
My question is.
I just don't know how to spell his name at this point.
You know, listen, I don't want to underestimate our audience. They may be prepared to listen for 2.5 hours. I don't know.
Let's talk about the biggest shaft of all time in Swago history.
We're open ears.
All right.
Tell us
is
what
it Jeff
you know.
Gottlieb?
It's bigger than Jeff Gottlieb. It's bigger than Moose Miller.
Who's that?
It's Jike. Have you ever heard of Jike?
You know, I've always seen
something
the name.
Something with plums.
You're talking
right?
about
plums?
Toilet.
Something with plums, right?
You're in an era that's a step ahead.
There was a story
of,
about this guy, and he had a lot
overlap.
Of plums.
Well,
I
let
think.
Me say, and there's two guys. There's Jike and Cobbs. It's like the
I remember Cobb,
and it's like Jike is like the good son, and you know Cobbs was like the not the say the bad son, but the misbehaving son.
The less
biblical,
good, the less good side.
Cobbs and Krause are the two people who, like, since they're 14, have not emotionally aged, like, since camp. And I say that as
and
a good
that's why I love them.
Right, exactly.
Well, I don't
Krause
know.
Is one of those
guys.
Which is
Krause.
Why, which
yeah,
is why
Krause
Cobbs
is still a child. It's
which is why Cobbs was, like, the greatest group leader ever, because he was, like, you know, younger than you are emotionally.
He used to come up, remember? Like, he used to come up when we were
yes.
campers. He'd
Cobb
be like, the guy
was one of
sitting,
those guys.
See him, like, sitting
Cobbs
in a lineup. Like,
both,
who's that guy?
We're both legends.
Yep, yep.
And I don't know why Jike wasn't a cult leader, but he was, to me, the biggest shaft, because he was a group leader for so many years.
What was his name, by the way? What was Jike's name?
Judge John Leventhal.
So
he's
his name
judge,
is John
right?
Leventhal. He's a judge now, and we call him Jike.
In Brooklyn, and I think he's now like an appellate judge. He's really an incredible guy. He was very earnest. As much as Cobbs was like a crazy wild card, Jike, he had his nicknames were Toilet because on a dare he ate 100 plums and spent a lot of time.
Wait, what was the story on that? Like somebody brought a lot of plums on visiting day.
Yeah,
a lot
what
of them.
The fuck
and,
you're
and
then he had
plums,
a bad stomach,
and his nickname became Toilet.
It's a good nickname,
plums
man.
Plums can do that to you.
Yes,
it's a good nickname
like
for socials. Toilet.
And Judge, Your Honor.
Hi, Lauren, I'd like you to meet yeah. Toilet. He's a cool dude.
Your Honor, and when he was our group leader, he was so concerned. He was such a caring man. We called him Mama. And there were
this
times
is, this is still Jike we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we'd be like Toilet.
So it's Mama and Toilet.
And we'd be like Toilet
so
the bitch is a mama.
Sporting the tags,
toilet
yo.
Is a mama. And you know, for whatever reason, he was at camp for so long. He was one of the greatest guys. I don't know how he was not a Color Wheel leader. You
maybe
know?
Because of his names, man.
He sucked at
Toilet
at
and Mama.
That's all
and
I can
Cobbs,
say.
Who, like I said, was like you know,
really. If you adopt the name Toilet, it's highly unlikely
now,
you're going to be a Color
Wheel
leader. It's a general theory I roll with.
Did you know Cobbs' son? His last name was Jacobs. He was probably younger than you.
I do.
But he
I
went
know.
To Swago in the last no. year. It's probably
really.
A very
his last
good
name
athlete.
Would be Jacobs.
Jacobs.
No. Nope.
Because Cobbs was Jacobs. No. And the funny thing is, apparently, I've heard the story from Cobbs, who's one of the funniest people in the universe, that he got a call from Sheldon's partner, Stan.
Yes,
Stan.
That they wanted to talk about his son. That there was, you know, an
there's
issue.
Some issues that they needed
and
to discuss.
And it's like, well, what's the issue? It's like, well, you know,
they weren't he wasn't polar bearing enough.
That your son is too competitive. You know, like the other day,
exactly.
He frowned upon it at some camp.
Where
he plays sports
match.
6 hours a day.
And he was actually upset because he lost.
And he was very. And Cobb said, wait a second. He lost? Who did he lose to? How did he lose a tennis match?
So,
he was just, you know.
I hope Stan got the message at that moment.
And we had intercamp games and we had reunions in the 90s. We went up to camp as old guys.
How about
And Cobb would coach us. We would arrange for intercamp games and play the staff of other camps.
We have our own Stan story. Alan and I, when we were counselors, it was 83, and Stan approached us to sort of lead Friday night prayers. Do you remember this?
Wow. What happened
Please, no, I don't.
We declined. On like,
who was
we
leading
like,
them at that point?
I don't know.
Wait, who approached us?
Does anybody
Stan,
do?
Stan Feld? Oh, Stan approached
me
and you.
Stan of Sheldon.
We're counselors.
Oh,
we were
counselors, and they wanted
said,
us to
do
lead
we want to lead the prayer?
Friday night services.
They picked the two right guys for that at that time.
we pleasantly declined.
Stan, I don't know the prayers. I'm not leading them.
Did anybody do them after Rita?
They did. I don't remember. I think
did
they
Stan
did.
Get up and did he twitch?
I guess he did.
Welcome to Sabbath.
And you know, the
May
twitch is something I learned.
May illuminate hearts as we kindle these capers.
What was that prayer? That's
Blessed
not a prayer
now,
book anywhere.
Lord our God, King of the universe.
True? That's not like part of like
I've
sanctified
never, I've
us.
I've never heard
Sabbath.
That anywhere other than Swago.
Joy
she like made up her own
prayer. Blessed art thou, Lord our
God. Yeah, right? Sanctified us with Swago peace. And then Dave would go in the middle and do like Rokatan and Ireland and Melvin and then everybody at the end would go, like at the end of the national anthem. Until he got pissed and said, no, this is disrespectful, the chair moving that you talked about.
Yeah, that was his
so
one.
So we were up at Swago last week and we played basketball and because it was crass, it had
was
to
it like
be
weeds coming through the cracks
game.
Or did
yeah,
you groom
there
it
are.
A little?
We,
okay.
Yeah. And the grass is much less of it is cut than in the past.
Gotcha.
And the buildings are all collapsed. They're still there, but, you know.
Right, they're decrepit.
And
has anything been burned to the ground? Where
no,
you
that's what I thought like somebody said, that he had burned it all to the ground. And
if it had been burned, it's still rubble. There's a lot of rubble.
They haven't cleared it.
It's like, you know, Bosnia, you know.
Back in the day.
It's not
did a little
great.
Burning, but they didn't bring the bulldozers in to clear it away.
And then we went around and we went over to where the Brody's house is. And
right.
We ran into Tim and his lovely wife.
So it's
right.
And his three beautiful kids.
Were they receptive to your being there?
Yeah, listen, I...
just be honest.
We did the same thing last
year. If I'm
year.
Tim, I don't necessarily want every motherfucker coming
shit.
Up and... Fuck, I can't get a weekend away by myself every time I come
I
here.
I hear him,
this
man.
Another Swago guy.
Tim, and we did this, three of us were there last year, and we come out and the kids like come walking out of the house. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
All right.
And it was really nice, and we swam off his dock, and they ended up going into Calicoon for a while, and we took out, and of course, because Krause has
so
to...
So they could give you
extreme,
some time on the dock by yourselves?
No, Krause has to swim across the lake and back. It's like, not enough.
You can't
and
just go take a and, fucking right, dip in the right, water.
Time me.
Right. And he has
I did this at camp in 12 minutes.
Right.
I need you to time me to see if I beat it.
He has to put things on
it.
His hands to make the swimming more difficult.
Extra weights.
Yes.
I see.
And you know, we're not going to let him go out there by himself.
Hopefully someone's in a rowboat.
Because, you know, we don't... Well, yes, we took out the kayak. And, you
just
know, because
in case.
It was that, it's like, oh, great, I got to follow, you know, him on this long
just
thing.
Just in case. Make camp up.
And, but because Krause has to do everything to the extreme, you know.
Yeah.
So, Krause is an incredible guy, but remember when you travel with Krause...
You're going to get in a kayak.
You go at a level
it's going
you're not
all
used
the way.
To.
You're not just going to shoot around and play an easy game of ball or taps. You are going to play
3-on-3 for as if you're
one
playing
on one
for
on
like
one.
The,
and
the
he,
world
you
championship.
You are going to kill each other. There should be blood by the end of the game.
He did, there were a couple of times where his shot. There was one game in particular. This is like Urban League stuff.
Swish like
where
10
he
in
was
a row.
Just like had 7 or 8 in a row. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and he was
great shooter.
Sneaky, you know, ball handler.
Except the ball handler, great shooter, good player.
Pairs well with
great
Feldman.
Player. Yeah.
Those two guys. Like,
yeah, very so, good backcourt. Good backcourt, Feldman.
So you were
Krause.
Saying before that you went to Blumstein's house.
Yeah, I think it was my waiter year. I think I just went out to Brooklyn, and I don't really remember what it was. It was more of sort of the orientation of this is what
this
you're going to have to
be
as a... Yeah. As a waiter, which is weird because they didn't have one for a counselor. So, you know, I didn't think the waiter thing was so important that I have to go out for an orientation, but that's what it was.
And that year, I went on a teen tour, and I came to Swago maybe 3 weeks in or so.
Yeah.
And I remember there was this whole, there was a kitchen boy.
There was some crazy groups rivalry.
What's your name? I don't need anything. What's your name? I don't need anything.
Kitchen boy waiter hoop thing.
He was just asking me what my name was. And we had a basketball game, and we lost to the Kitchen Boys.
Pre-Pearlstein, but Pearlstein's
no,
coming back.
When I came, we lost.
Well, we lost
by
to you.
A point
we lost
or
before
two. You lost probably by a lot more, hopefully.
No, we didn't. We lost. It was a close game, and we lost. And then we're like, well, so fucking, when Paulston comes here.
And I added nothing. We lost by one again. So it didn't prove very much. My basketball didn't add to your team. Why am I digressing on this?
I don't know, but you talk about great games. And going back to the last thing of the Cuba game.
That game wasn't so great. We lost.
That wasn't great. What's your name? Beat us.
In the huddle, at the end of the KIT Cuba tournament, Blumstein comes running into the huddle.
Whoa, wait.
He does.
Reset this really? For me.
Cuba, 1975.
You're running Cuba. It's the finals.
We're playing Tioga. Cuba's out. We beat Cuba in the
series. No, you're playing in the Cuba finals.
Yes. Against Tioga.
And you're in the middle of the game.
In the timeout.
Dave runs into the huddle to say something.
This is like Nixon calling to play for the Redskins.
What the fuck did Dave say?
He comes in and he says, win or lose, there's going to be a party.
What?
And
I'm going to have White Rock Cola.
And Neil looks up at him. And Neil Herman and looks up at him and says, get the fuck out of here. And it was just beautiful. We just...
How much did we lose by in that game?
1 point.
It was a heartbreaker.
Why would he
come in
though and say that? Like regardless of what happened, we're having a party.
What about?
He was so
like, win this one, boys, for Swago and
was,
all.
It was the closest we ever came
I'll
to
give
winning
you
that tournament.
Six extra
I think you
would have
won had he not said that though. You sort of let the expectations down.
Yeah,
it was a
very heartbreaking loss.
You can lose and
yeah,
you still
I still think about that game. You know,
yeah, that was the beginning of the end. Dave was showing his signs as a bad manager.
The weakness was coming through.
He was a man. To his word, we went to my place.
You partied, huh?
And had pizza and soda.
Yay. So Dave brought you to my place. Did he pay for it, or did he make you use your your coupons from the canteen?
He added it to next year's. Right, he deducted it.
Everyone else is $1,300, but Ed and the Burks, you're $1,380 because we had that pizza party for you.
It was really nice. I mean, we did, and it helped us heal. It was very nice, and we did eat pizza and all that stuff.
Oh, that's Howie ringing right now.
Excuse us, have an emergency
call. Pause for a quick moment.
This is El Chin.
El Chin W. Ja, what was the name of that radio station at El Chin? I am Ja Michael. I am Ja Michel. I am Ja Rastafari.
Ja Rastafari.
We are the mighty diamonds.
So Ed.
Steve Popkin. So we were just discussing the lake.
The lake. I mean,
it's like a magical lake of water.
Healing waters, people talk about.
What do you call it?
Healing. It's like some people call it like healing waters. I know people call it the womb.
It is that way. Every time we go back,
who calls it the womb?
Don Weintraub.
It's a slippery water. Do you know what I mean?
I call it
the
placenta.
It's a very. It's a light. It invites you into it. I love it. I love that lake.
It is a beautiful lake. Although it has its cold spots and warm spots, which I've never been able to figure out.
It really does have cold
and
warm
spots. It's crazy. The variation like from 3 feet away is insane.
About 3 years ago, we learned something. I learned something about sound waves and the lake. Howie was sitting on the dock, and me and the rest of the guys on our trip were out, I'm talking 200-300 yards out into the middle of the lake. And all Howie had to do was whisper, "Hey, guys." And the waves would bounce off the lake so low, we would hear it 200 yards away.
That is amazing.
It was awesome.
I do remember hearing conversations, and even just...
You could hear them from across
the
lake. That's how crazy
the acoustics
are.
And even just this past week when I was out in the middle of the lake on a kayak, there were people like on a raft far away. And
if there's nothing else going on, you can hear them.
I was able to hear their voices very clearly. But the other thing is, the lake is spring-fed. It's not fed from like a river. So it doesn't have that smell that lakes have.
It's such a clear, beautiful water.
And you jump in. You don't muck in.
Very little algae.
I remember going to other camps, maybe water ski on their lakes.
And they also had that algae growth. They had those pods growing on their lake. We're like, we don't have that at Swago.
You have a motorboat on there?
The only thing that was like the dirty water crib. You remember the dirty water crib?
Yeah, but it was
gross. I didn't really want to go in that.
Nobody.
I didn't like touching that floor. I did not like that.
Nobody ever went in that.
It's for little kids, right?
They had the two little baskets.
Did anyone play basketball?
Why'd they have it? What was the reason? It was disgusting. It was algae-filled wood.
Right, they had the nice.
I'd rather step on the bottom of the lake than step on that nastiness.
they had the nice crib, and then they had the dirty water. They called it the dirty water crib.
They were right. What do you think you're going to get in terms of
usage? Can I sign up for the dirty water?
You call it the dirty crib.
Not exactly the dirty water crib.
Really good marketing scheme.
The two lap area and the 8 lap area.
Do you need a buddy for that?
So yeah, I just being able to jump in that lake, and it's always beautiful. The best thing. And
well, we would play so along the way in the 22 years of our trip. Often we would do a color war, and senior A.
It reverted to just basketball.
Senior A, it ended up being a basketball game.
Which we haven't even played.
We would play basketball. Remember the court that was right before the bridge going over the river?
We played there, too, and in Calicoon as well.
Play the one-on-one. We'd play a three-on-three right there.
Uh-huh.
Finish up, drive right to the lake, and into the lake. It was
when you most needed the lake.
Amazing. Like, just a great feeling.
Well, that was nice. Last week, playing in Swago and then driving around to the Brody's and jumping in from there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So beautiful. Nice. That lake's great. It's like magical.
Although that ride from Coshocton, I remember walking from Coshocton to Swago as a waiter, you know, from my place with Johnny Eunice. You guys remember Johnny Eunice?
I remember the name. He was like into the water stuff. He was into like sailing and stuff, wasn't he?
A great athlete and also a great sea guy and one of the coolest guys to ever go to Swago, who like went to Vassar for all the right reasons.
And he was a soccer player. Like, I knew he was sort of like saying how he didn't play soccer, but I remember him playing soccer.
He was a great athlete, Eunice. And it was funny because I thought Eunice was so cool. I remember he wasn't a color world leader. He moved up from Klausner's group to my group somehow. And I remember thinking, like, but you don't mind. He's like, no, I wanted to be a color world leader. I thought he was almost, like, sort of too cool to, like, care. But I remember he saying.
But he did care.
Yeah, he did. And we were waiters.
Was he a color world leader?
He was not.
I don't remember him.
And when we were waiters, we were really close because we were probably, like, the two guys who.
He looked like Peter Frampton, right?
Maybe a little bit. He was really. Girls loved him.
It's like I see Peter Frampton. Because Frampton's album was big.
Skinny kind of guy with, like,
big.
A big hair. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, listen, the Swatona girls love Johnny Eunice, right. So.
I want you. Awesome. So, you know, I don't know. Where do you want to go here? We've been at it an hour and a half or so. I don't want to.
You know, whatever.
Any subjects you want to cover?
We've got to get through the whole
list.
Well,
let's see. Did you guys go barnstorming?
No. We did one year. Once. Yes, we did. We did. Remember we went to French Lake?
We hated it. Noodles.
It was annoying. We went barnstorming.
We played like the last game. Noodles was like, we were playing against French Woods. It was clear neither team
did you really care
about the game.
Intercamp games?
And
you did intercamp.
And it ended it.
I didn't love intercamp.
Oh, I
you
loved
did intercamp.
Games.
They don't do it really anymore at camps. It's not prominent.
We loved it.
Barnstorming was doing intercamp where you'd sleep over on the floor of some social hall,
not
like in
sleep.
Between.
To me, it was
not a good sleep. We didn't have Ambien back then. It was not the same thing as now.
It was time to meet girls from other camps. It was
I don't know. You were more progressive than we were.
I met no girls.
It was time for me to
ever.
Get in my sleeping bag on some social hall floor and go to sleep.
And I remember that we went and we had a. We were really doing very well in basketball and we were killing teams. And I remember. Roy wouldn't go because Roy couldn't drive or something. I don't know. Like, Roy was a great guy but had, you know, certain issues.
He was afraid to drive a car on
a
highway.
I don't know. Or maybe he just didn't want to be with us for a while. So Coach Cleats took us. And
back to Coach. It all goes Coach back Cleats. To Coach Cleats, doesn't it?
For a guy who was there for just a couple of years.
He really made an impact on your life.
And I'm going to tell another Coach Cleats story in a second, but he told us against one camp, like, go easy on these guys because we want to be able to play them again. And, of course, we lost that game.
Oh.
But Coach Cleats, as he was new at Swago, you remember when you guys were working seniors?
Yeah, you get
What's
the
a
hours.
Working senior?
You get the
hour.
You
hours.
Work for 200 hours.
Really?
You set up benches
Second
and you get like
year
8
senior?
Hours.
That's why Jake painted the tent.
And your parents get like
the TPME.
I believe
your parents get like a
got
discount.
8 hours.
You get $200 back
or something like that.
That sounds like one of the dumbest
like,
fucking
but
ideas.
But it's smart.
I've ever heard.
No, it's smart.
Why? What's
because
smart
because
about
now
it?
He's got the crew that you need to set up the benches in the social hall, which is basically all you.
So
he
was basically employing us at
exactly
really
do the stuff to set up the evening activity.
Because I remember
did you go to camp to have to fucking move benches around? I didn't.
There was inflation. Like
it's
you would
problem.
Sweep out the nature shack, and the guy would write like 10 hours.
I never did that, man.
You know, so it was a joke.
So you leveraged it, and you would get
I just remember it was expected. And I remember one time when Coach Cleats was new, he wanted the second year seniors to come and scrape like gum or shit off the social hall floor.
Cleats is a stickler,
and. I remember I didn't do it. I was like, no, that sounds like a shitty thing. And all of the other second-year seniors did
Reginald Van Thurman III.
And at the end, you know, like they were doing it for an hour and a half. So he wrote on their things an hour and a half. And the guys were like, are you fucking crazy? We should get like 20 hours for this.
No, it wasn't a real hour. It wasn't like Einstein.
He was like, no,
one
you guys
worked
an hour and a half. I'm signing an hour and a half.
Wait, I'm just curious.
The benches,
so they
hours.
Hated him at first.
What would you get in return for doing this?
$200. You would actually get paid to you, I think, a $200 check.
To the camper or to my parents?
To the camper.
I don't recall ever getting
$200.
Maybe I'm confusing with my Whittier, but I thought it was to the camper.
Whittier, maybe we made $300.
I think I had to put in $125.
Fine, it was good. It was camp without having to do anything.
Yeah.
I think I had to put in like
it's actually the best deal there is.
I think I had to put in like $125
hours. Right?
Free? Got a discount.
What was that?
I think like you had to put in 125 hours. And your parents got
and they got
discount.
A discount at the end of the summer. That could be.
I'm sure a lot of the kids were motivated.
I'm confusing it with
I'm sure a lot of the campers were motivated to make sure their parents got a discount.
No, but it solved. You know, you wanted to get the hours done. You served as a semi-labor.
I have no memory of
activities.
Doing anything for hours. ever.
Because you didn't do anything.
So we
I'm sorry, Marilyn.
Your parents. Imagine that compounded annually.
If you had that $200 now, it'd be worth $18,000. I fucked you big time.
There you go. That's why you work those hours.
Marion and Ken. Sorry.
And the time that I was at Dave Blumstein's house in Brooklyn is when he called us in after our waiter year.
This is going full circle.
But we weren't in college yet. But it was Mitch Kaplan, Dave Jacobs, Moose, and myself. And we went to his house. And he offered us a counselor job.
Just wait, before you go there, what kind of house did Dave live in?
It was
neither of you answered that. What was it? Like a modest Brooklyn?
It was in the Midwood section of Brooklyn.
Okay, Midwood Avenue, MNNOP kind of thing.
It was in
thing.
one of the alphabet, off like East 7th Street.
Right, right.
It was a nice size, a separate house with a lawn.
It was nice.
We went into like a big area where there was like a living room with a dining room table.
And
or
Dave
something.
Was a principal at a school? Is that what his
role
was?
I thought he was a math, maybe like
it was
a
math teacher. But he may have gone
something.
On to administration. I don't know.
He offered us this job, but since we weren't in college, he said, we'll pay you the waiter salary, but you'll be counselors.
That's a great deal.
And I was like, yeah.
He's going to do all the work for...
right.
The money of nobody.
And the other three guys took the gig, which, I ended up going on to become the Flamingo Kid and working at Atlantic Beach.
Very bad businessman, by the
way. A couple of British guys
that
are pissed.
But the other
thing... I was signed up.
Here's the thing. You can be a head counselor and run the camp. But I'm going to pay you.
Right. You could be a counselor.
You could be a camper.
And you have to pay as a camper.
That.
Right. Yes. We weren't qualified since we weren't in college yet. So he was going to discount our salary. But we'd be counselors.
We're qualified enough to do the job, just not enough to earn the money.
And the other three guys did do it. I did not. But
I like
also,
that.
We
stood on principle.
Weak
I like
negotiators.
I did what walk did they do? Out of there with money in my pocket.
You know what, Ed?
Right.
This is where
you had
said,
a good summer.
No, because what happened
This is where you made your stance. I fucked up on the color war thing.
Right.
I didn't stand up for Moose. Now I'm going
to
do it.
And I did
I'm
one other
standing
thing,
up for
it was
myself.
To my benefit. I was the head waiter, and I asked Dave.
That carries a lot of responsibility.
I asked Dave.
What does that mean? What does that mean? What is the head
There's
waiter?
No greater honor.
I asked Dave, was there anything wrong with my service for you this summer?
Gentlemen, tonight we're going
to
be serving peanut butter
and
jelly.
He went to Dave and asked, is there anything wrong with my service this summer?
He said, no, why? What are you talking about? Because, you never gave me a tip. And he's like, well, sure we did. Rita, didn't we tip Eddie? And, I think we did. It's like, well, I would have remembered. And he gave me $20.
Rita.
So I'm thinking, here we are,
we are pissing on
a lot of meals, probably 90 meals. I got $20 for it, It's
Davey Blumstein.
We are, yes. Which
Why
I, which
did
I recently
you do that?
Did this past week.
You took a little leak on Davey's lawn just for good old time's sake.
His house is still standing on Swago. His house stands. As does the office. They're in bad condition, but they stand.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
The dugouts, you can't, you have to need a machete to get to.
Well, Ed, this has been amazing.
Okay.
Alan's our closer. It's like, well.
You know me. We're at Estelle's. It's like, well, it's time to go.
Well, there's plenty more whenever you want to talk to.
I could ramble for hours with you. Howie could ramble for hours. I wonder if our listeners want to go past an hour and 40 minutes. That's all I ask.
So. All right. We're an hour and 32 in. I give it another 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Fine. I'm not in any rush. That's not my point. Anything else that you want to talk about?
Yeah, a couple of things.
Please, please.
Were any of you guys at, when after Dave passed away, were any of you guys at his memorial?
I was not.
No. I read the obituary
in
the
Times. Did you go in?
I did, and there were a lot of
I'm really interested to hear. What was that like?
That's a good point.
Well, you know, I don't remember who spoke, but it was like hundreds.
Did anyone Swago related? Swago?
It was all Swago people.
Oh, really? Interesting. That was his greatest impact, like even like students maybe at his high school or every talk.
It was a Swago memorial.
That's awesome. I think that's great.
And I don't remember exactly, like, I'm sure Stan spoke and Stan Feld and other people. But at the end, other people got up and, you know, sort of said a couple of things. And I remember getting up and asking, how many people here were fired by Dave Blumstein? And, like, at least 30 hands went up. And that's the measure of a man, that, like, people who he fired still, you know, wanted to be
people
there.
Who he was
memorial.
At odds with really wanted to be there. That's cool.
And, you know, Moose told the strike story when, you know, we got fired for...
Moose spoke at the funeral?
No, but at last week when he was on your podcast, he told the story when we went on
strike
as waiters.
No, he did.
And I remember when Dave fired us, we went on strike and with the kitchen boys and Dave...
Whoa, let me just step back. You just to remember this. You went on strike
as
waiters.
The night before
meaning we didn't get
day.
Served. We had to make our own PB&J.
No, the box not, lunches, right?
The strike lasted...
The box
lunches.
For regular listeners at the ski slope, they'll remember Moose's story about
the strike lasted from 9:58 in the morning till about 10:50.
It didn't last that long.
Nonetheless.
And we were ready for lunch.
The strike only happened during night hours. It never saw the light of day.
It was a midnight strike. I like it.
It was a midnight strike. And when all the kitchen boys and all the waiters went into Dave's house, like from take the money and run, like the chain gang scene, we all like sort of come in, shuffling into his house. And I remember thinking, like, holy shit, he's got a TV. And we're sitting there, and it was a great labor thing, because I convinced the kitchen boys to go on strike, because two kitchen boys left. I go, you guys are working way more, should get more money. And
I don't like it. He's a rabble-rouser.
Right, I was. It wasn't Moose.
He's a real
Moose
liberal.
Was telling the truth. When Moose,
he's a rabble-rouser.
Dave accused him of being the brains behind the operation. Mm-hmm. Moose was four square against the strike. And
because he was getting tips.
Four square.
He was going to get tips. So he said he was like he had threatened
the
seniors to give him
tips.
By the
way, he got no tips and terrorized his table.
Who did Moose serve?
You're getting juice or water, not both. You know, with that, he terrorized his tables for weeks.
You want me to go back in there and get
service
juice?
Was a smile
getting, you get bug juice or water. You're not getting both.
Make a decision.
He was very explosive. He didn't get the tips he thought he was getting.
Oh, it seemed like he did.
And I remember, and Dave immediately separated us, and he told the kitchen boys he's going to give them more money, and he told us, if we're not in there packing the lunches, you're in the next train to Monticello.
Wait, and that, guy, and what, thinking, that train?
What fucking train?
That's right? That's, you know, okay. From the last time, I'm like, wait a second, I don't recall a train that
runs
from
Damascus
to Monticello.
I read
to
Swago Road.
What train? I never heard a train. What train to Monticello?
And oh, you mean the train from Monticello?
We did box lunches.
I don't even know if there was a train from Monticello, let alone two.
But, you know, we
Wayne County line.
And he would have fired us and had second year seniors
just do it.
Serve the stuff.
You're going to fucking serve food. I know you paid your $18.50.
The great box lunch.
You're going to serve people lunch. I don't care what you think.
He may have actually paid that stuff. You know, it was. It was pretty crazy stuff. So,
so you were at the funeral for Dave then?
It was a memorial. It wasn't the actual funeral.
I see. So it was like just a Swago memorial.
Yes, it was just a Swago memorial.
I missed that.
See, I didn't go to that.
And Chewy Lerman, who you know, Charles Lerman.
Just the name. You know, he's active. I don't
know
him. I
didn't know Chewy very well either. He was a little bit older than
past
I was.
Past your time, right?
But ask me, apparently, and Chewy, please, if you are, can check in on this. If you listen to the podcast and you want to post something, and you should certainly do this because you can give a time of history that is certainly
right
before
beyond
my time.
Us.
We need to do like the at Chewy Lerman stuff on our thing so people know that they were mentioned
right
in this. Okay. So
now,
they check
now
it out.
Chewy Charles Lerman.
I'm not saying the, you, Howie. I'm just saying we.
The myth holds that you swam underwater.
Whoa. The myth of Chewy Lerman, he swam
from
underwater.
From Swago to Swatona.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Come
is
on.
It possible?
That's why they call it a myth.
All right. Let me just set up here. I don't need Chewy to check in. It's like
this
a half a mile.
Chewy,
you can't swim half a mile underwater. I don't care if you're Chewy Iron Lung.
His
Lerman
name would be
Holdy
Breathy if you could do that.
I just,
that's not
so
physically
Chewy,
possible.
Is that true? Jeff Gottlieb, another reason, like, he broke my water shoe walking record.
Well, wait, we're back to Jeff Gottlieb.
That's a different story. The water shoes.
Say that again.
He broke my water shoe. I walked on water shoes to Swatona.
Okay.
And that's different. To Dave's impressive. Dock, which was further.
Okay. That I believe.
Swimming underwater all the way there? No, okay. Not doable. You walking on water shoes? Doable.
Yes. It's actually great exercise for the legs. It would be a great thing.
Yeah. They were fun.
I love your idea of Swago is retiring.
I think they'd have a lot of surfboard.
I used to think of Swago timeshares.
Don't you think, like, seriously, established senior homes should affiliate with summer camps?
I'm there.
So that's where you retire and spend the last days.
If you have
days.
To go there, at least there's a little bit of like this. Culture
quite frankly, is there
time.
Any place you'd rather die than at Swago?
No.
Be with my family.
Your
and all
crew.
That. If that
doesn't
happen, I have to go to some other place because I'm the last one around.
And on a really intense note,
let me do that.
And maybe this is the way our great friend Mark Lamb.
We don't even know him.
No, he was a Color War leader in 1973.
Do you know who Mark Lamb even
I know the
is?
Name. If somebody said, do you know Mark Lamb, he's the Swago guy.
I know him. I know his face.
His
I can
family
see
was part of the original owners of Swago.
I did not know that at
along
all.
Along with the Liedermans, you know, the Liedermans.
Well, the Liedermans is how we got onto the lake. They own actually...
With Sheldon.
They own that second house in Ever.
How is he giving me the silent signal?
All right, we're going to avoid that.
In any case, because...
That was the safe at third signal.
That was shut the fuck up, Alan! You're blowing it!
Cover. But during one of our... And Mark Lamb was one of my brother's best friends and a close friend of my family
as
well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And during one of our...
So his family owned it with the Liedermans. They were the original owners prior to...
Part of the Dave Kaplan family.
The Kaplan? I don't even know what you're talking about.
His grandmother was Esther Lamb.
All right, now let's just come back to our ear and not even deal with that.
Back
Mark
in the 1840s.
This is a little bit sad. Well, and this is a down note, but Mark Lamb committed suicide.
Yeah, that was sad.
During the time when we were all together at Swago.
It's amazing that people commit suicide.
Wait, while you were there?
Is that a strong person or a weak person?
I think at the Brody's house, where like Mrs. Brody made us dinner that night. Like,
can we expand this conversation a little bit?
At the same time you guys were there?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you think a person that commits suicide is an incredibly strong human being or a weak human being?
Mark was a very troubled person.
I'm not judging. I don't mean it in that way at all.
Because then
I could never commit suicide. I'd be too weak to commit suicide. I would never, even if I was upset, I don't think I could. I'd be afraid to do it. And for a person to actually do it, it's a pretty fucking
Mark was
incredible. I don't mean that in a positive way.
Was
thing.
One
no,
of
it's
my
a very
incredible
thing. Significant
to
thing
it.
To do.
And I
you could have the power
really
to
love
do
Mark
it.
And my family loved Mark. And it's
what do you think it was with him?
Mark just didn't
individual?
Realize that he had a chance to be happy. He came from a very troubled family. His mother died, I think, during the summer when he was in camp one year. His father was a complete nut, like mental institution. His sister was in a mental institution.
So he had family issues with like chemical imbalances.
And he was an anesthesiologist, and he was very unhappy with the job. And it was my brother was talking to him. It was really
fucking
a
breaks
hard
your
time.
Heart, honestly. That's
and
like just the most terrible thing, like that you not be able to deal with your own reality and to, like,
right, like not my, be
so
able to
sad.
like
to not find your
direct
own
direct
balance.
It.
And like he's probably a great guy. I don't know the guy.
He was a great guy.
Great
he was
guy,
one of
and
the,
he just can't. Get comfort and balance in life.
He didn't realize that he had a chance to be happy.
No,
I think
that's
terrible. He just saw himself.
Isn't that such
a
personal decision? No, it's not even like a chance to be happy. It's like the decision to be happy. The decision
you're
to
right.
sort of see things.
I wish Mark.
This podcast
interpret
is
things.
Going deep right now.
There we go,
but,
man. We're off.
But
we're
talking
too
about Swago as a memorial, and this happened while we were all at the camp when my brother got the phone call that.
How old was he when he did this?
I mean, this was in the mid '90s. I'm
so
guessing
was
about
he like
15.
In his 20s, 30s.
Yeah. He was in his mid-30s. Maybe he was a little bit younger. It's hard to remember time. It could have been 20
years
ago.
But somewhere in that.
And years later, we had a memorial at Swago. His ashes are scattered on the grounds and in the lake. And there's a memorial on the Liederman's property for Mark, designed by his Swatona girlfriend. Who has got a house near Equinox?
What do you mean it's memorial on the Liederman property? We've been on that Liederman property. I don't see any memorials.
You would have
there.
To. It's probably a bit under, like an under an underbrush. But there's
yeah, where
a
I'd like
stone.
To know because we.
That's where we go.
It's where we go every year. We
you,
have that's how we
if
connect
you
ourselves.
Face like the direction of the canteen from the Liedermans.
Okay.
And there's like a like.
Like a whole like
are you down
grass,
by are you down by the
like
lake.
Bushes?
Are you
no.
talking up by the house where there's a lot of growth up on that house right there?
You'll
yeah.
find a pink stone with like
wow.
two hands.
We
got to
check that out. How can we not
we're
have seen
check
that?
Out.
All
we're
these
gonna
years
get the Mark Lamb stone
and you know Mark Lamb on that 1973 Color War plaque.
legacy. If I ever person. Was at that state, I mean, whatever, just... Is there anywhere where you'd rather, like, put your ashes to go? Like,
I think I wish they had timeshares now, Swago timeshares.
Yeah.
Would you guys take 2 weeks?
We approached Sheldon through a broker about buying the Swago side of the property. And he, you know, we were just going to put a few whatever up just to chill out there. His response was, I'll sell it to you, but you can't knock anything down until I'm dead and whatever. So we just
Sheldon.
That's ridiculous.
Do you think he bought that camp to close it?
Like this,
but maybe he had to.
He had these visions of what he could make it be.
I'd be curious to have him on here. I'd love to have
Sheldon
him on here.
We could do it through Pam Bleckman.
We probably could, and if he'd be willing to, I'd love to hear like what
I would
like what his
fucking
what his
get
take is.
Sheldon on. That would be an interesting guest. We're gonna
get a great
that would be awesome.
You
want to
get Chewy Lerman, Jimmy Golden?
Oh, yeah, give us some recommendations.
Arnie Heller and Paul Broad.
Well, just so you know, we've figured out how to do call-in. So
yeah,
we're gonna reach out. Maybe
we
should reach out to Sheldon. See what
Paul
he has
Broad.
To say, man. What
you
was
know,
his reason
with,
for
and,
buying
and listen,
it?
We'll go into it with respect, right?
Totally with
like,
respect. I'm not knocking on anything.
Right. Just curious.
I'm just curious what his thinking was, why he bought it. So as I'm sure most people who are listening to this know, Sheldon owned the home as well as the Lederman's home. Just we have a little perspective on it. The Lederman's actually have a 50 or 100-year lease that expires in 2040-something.
I didn't know that.
On that home, that's the second home. The Ledermans were the original owners with this consortium that you brought it
right.
out. Dave then bought it, and then Sheldon. How did Sheldon end up with that house? I don't remember
See,
the story
I always thought
that.
Maybe he bought that camp to quiet the lake.
Sheldon bought the house, and with the house, he got the ownership of the second home that had a 100-year or 50-year lease on it that the Ledermans had.
I hear that house is destroyed, by the way.
The Lederman house is decrepit at this point.
Yeah.
We had access to it. Early, let's call it the late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, my brother knows those guys.
What am I doing wrong here?
No,
why are you giving me
that? That was a sarcastic.
No. So we were able to, because the Liebners who go on our trip knew the Ledermans, and we had access to the house, which got us on the lake for many, many, many years. But the last handful of years, I don't think it's even occupied at this point. I don't think there's anything there. It's kind of sad.
Like
And by the way, I've asked Sheldon for permission to walk the camp.
Yeah.
When,
I don't think at this point
and
he even cares.
When he owned it. And he did let me, when he owned it. All but there were times that when there was a group of us who used to chase us off, including like a T and Edmund-like square thing with Moss standing in front of his Mercedes on the basketball court.
Listen, I'm sure he regrets buying the camp too. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Sure,
you know,
I'm sure he's not looking
off.
Back, being like that
well,
was the greatest thing
I would
ever
say
did.
Though, and we'll wait to hear what. Hopefully, maybe we'll have him as a guest. What he has to
That'd
say.
Be crazy.
Get Paul
I
Barney.
Would say that his right. that his intentions. Forget where what they were. His that his background was that based is in. I think his intentions
his base
were
intentions.
Probably. In the right place.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
he probably was trying to extend
keep the going
his
concern
camp.
Going.
It was a failed notion.
It was
from
it
the...
was a camp that was declining. It was an incredibly difficult time for camps. They were facing the competition, a teen tours, the whole thing. And it was just the perfect storm in the worst way that there was just really no way for it to exist.
Well,
Sheldon bought it, probably tried
and the intangible.
To make it
Let's not forget the intangible.
Look, of Paul
I mean, look, I'm not going to dance around it. Two homosexual men bought our camp.
And not only that, it's like, I got to think it was hard when they came into people's homes. Like, as you guys said, like, not that there's anything
No pun
wrong
intended,
with it.
Ed.
But yes.
Well,
but,
I wonder,
you know,
were
like,
they the ones showing up in people's homes? Were they out
know.
There
I mean,
doing it?
Who else was doing it?
I don't know. Maybe they had a marketing manager.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm sure it was them. It's like, oh, we're so excited. You know, they were just too out there.
Right.
And it's just, you know, at that time.
If you didn't know the camp and said, I want my kid to go to Swago, you would never
you know,
have
let's
said
be honest.
There.
It was also the early 80s.
Yeah.
Even
things
today.
Were
Even
not
today.
Where they were today. Even today,
Even
it would
today,
be difficult.
Two outwardly gay guys.
I just don't know how they would compete with a camp owner that was more from a more traditional background. You're a parent making a decision about where to send
and
your
you have
child.
Choices.
Yeah.
And you have choices.
It's like, what are you going to make some sort
and
of
And are you
going to
go stick yourself
here, like,
out
oh,
on a limb
so
right. to go say, oh, let me be the super liberal fucking person and go send my camp to the two people with Sheldon and Stan who just showed up at my house
cool
and brought the truffles. Like, you're just not going to do it. Like,
well,
that's the deal.
And the thing, to me, if Paul and Arnie had been able to buy the camp, hey,
that was who it was, Paul and Arnie.
Paul Broad and Arnie.
It seems like it was a move that should have been done.
Hey, I think that I would would be working there today. I mean, I'm a school teacher. I'm
right?
all summers.
You'd be head counselor.
I would be working. Maybe
isn't
I would
that
be
the
head
saddest part of it all? You would be working Sid. There. That's
greeting
the
when visiting.
Part.
You know,
right.
All right, listen, guys, we are. Anything else on the note? Let's go.
All right, well.
Let's check it out.
We just don't want to keep our audience
Paul
overwhelmed.
Broad and Artie Heller, for you guys who don't know him, really Swaggo legends. Paul Broad was working so hard to buy that camp. He became the steward. He was the waterfront guy. He was a head counselor.
Everything.
He learned that business up and down.
It's sad. I mean, we all know that. And, the biggest regret of anyone who went to Swaggo is that we couldn't send our children to Swaggo,
right.
at least to try it.
And
whatever,
all Swaggo boats in yeah. on that. That was Paul
and
Broad.
On that note, I think that that's a perfect place to end this. All Swaggo boats in.
Bring him in, son.
We are all so attached to Swaggo. It was such a fucking beautiful part of our lives, and it is a little sad that it hasn't extended itself. But on the flip side, it's fucking amazing.
We're gonna end on a positive.
Hey, sorry, I'm going to ramble on for a moment.
On the plus side,
it's
at least you have us.
We really
that we're all so attached that here we are sitting doing a freaking podcast.
All right,
so Ed Burke.
We went from 4-year-olds to death.
Exactly.
Ed Burke. Peace out. We're done.